buddy of mine posted this deal. It's like 48 things that'll make you feel old on Facebook. I was like, oh, shit. That's a horrible thing to do to people.
So what were bad. Some of them?
I think one of the worst ones was that in Back to the Future, Marty went back in time 30 years to the 50s in 1985. If he did that today, he would go back to 1982. Oh, as I vomit.
Any other good ones?
That was like one of the first things on there. Yeah, and Glenn Close never ages. That was the other thing.
Yeah, I was thinking about that the other day because, you know, in 92, 93 with the 101 Dalmatians, looks mm-hmm. just the same as she does now.
Yeah, I think that when she did that movie, Death Becomes Her, I think that was actually a documentary.
Ah, either that or no? She's the successor Nobody? To Dick Clark.
This is possible. Maybe he passed his life force on to her. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, you know how we find that out. What we do is we tie a rock to her, and we throw her in the river, and if she floats, then she's a witch.
I thought it was if she weighed more than a duck.
Well, you can do that too, but the rock thing is more fun.
True.
Okay, here's what you do. You tie a rock to Glenn Close and to a duck.
And to a duck.
And you throw them both in. This sounds... And whichever one sinks faster...
Sounds like somebody who's really horrible would take her to Times Square New Year's Eve and see if she starts hosting stuff.
No, you drop her, take her to New Year's Eve and you drop her from the height of the ball. And if she falls at the same rate as the ball, then she's a witch.
If she falls faster?
Then she's okay.
If she falls faster, then gravity is broken.
No,
again, gravity.
So there we go. If she falls at the same rate as the ball, then she's okay. If she falls faster, then she's a witch.
But remember, the ball has friction on the pole it's on.
Oh, that's right. It doesn't actually fall.
Okay, so you have to drop Glenn Close down a pole to equalize the forces.
Right. So you put a pole through Glenn Close and drop her at the same rate. If she slides down the pole
and then back up.
I don't know how the medieval people didn't like how they weren't more advanced. I don't understand.
Of course, now it seems more like it's not so much testing to see if she's a witch, but testing to see if she can pole dance.
Right.
Ew.
He hasn't aged. It's okay.
Three, 2, 1. And now it's time for another Superhero Time. With your hosts, XV.
It's time for something stupid.
Hey, Mickey.
In the butt.
Paladin.
And then we'll cut to an old man playing with his nuts.
Ken.
I can one-up that with my snake.
JD Church. Boom. And Fort Max.
Squirtle.
It's Morphin Time.
It's superhero time. It's all fours A all the time this week, except when there's O's and double.
Right.
Yeah. Mickey is not with us this week. He's having a drunken orgy of violence and despair.
So he did watch Mega Max then.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he drank in the process, even though it was 8 a.m.
How else get through?
There was no despair awaiting him at the finish line.
That movie really could have done with some Excel, I have to admit.
Everything could use some more Excel.
Just,
of course, I mean...
Heroin comes in the room, punches somebody in the face, walks out.
Well, that's what I was going to say. You kind of have to admit that, you know, we probably used up the lifetime quota of Terry coming and punching people in the movie Terry Ryu Punches People.
The movie.
Yes.
Yes.
Is this something else I have to look forward to?
Oh,
yes.
God.
Yes.
Don't ask them questions.
He has his own, Kamen Rider Double Returns, Kamen Rider XL, a.k.a. Police Brutality the Movie, a.k.a. Chiruri Punches Everyone in the Face Forever.
A.k.a. yet another venue for a Tamashii Web exclusive figure art.
Which I have. Yeah.
Well, that's what that's what the movies are, isn't it? I
mean, that's what every movie is.
And more Tamashii Web exclusive Gaia Memory toys,
and just basically more Sakamoto just directing double stuff.
You know, I gotta say, I love Forze. I have no desire whatsoever to own a belt or switches or any of that stuff.
Good.
But I've been watching. But I've been watching Double, and all of a sudden I'm like, I must have a Gaia Memory.
Oh no.
Well, tough shit. You can't find them.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, I can order one right now.
Steal one from XV.
Well, I only have the one.
Yeah, he's only got the one.
You only need the one.
What's that?
What?
That's the multi. That? He's got the multi one.
Oh, the Dopant one. Ah.
Yeah. See, I want the.
Waiting for the movie we're about to watch.
I thought.
Too but, bad you can't get the reissue double driver anymore.
No, I don't want. See, I just want the Dopant ones. I want sweets and money.
Ooh, I
want to keep them at the office and like occasionally make them go off and have people kind of look around. And
here we go.
Money.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm also dragging another friend of mine into watching Double, which he actually likes it. So, you know.
Well, that means he's a decent person.
Yes, she is. She's a very decent person.
No, Fort Max said your friend was a dude, so your friend is now a dude.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll let her know.
Yeah, that's not a huge inconvenience or anything.
I'm sorry, you need to go get a penis now. My friend, who is always right, insisted that you must have a penis. No, not in your mouth. That's not where it goes. Well, it can, but not right now. Anyway, what was happening? News?
I think this is more fun.
Well, there's no denying that, but we do have to get on with business.
Right.
Why?
Look, Peldon, this is work. It's not supposed to be fun.
Yes.
Haven't you been paying attention for the last 112 episodes?
No. It is not our lot in life.
Somebody's counting, at least.
Are we catching up?
That's probably not correct. I'm just, you know, taking a stab in the dark.
I was going to say, that can't be right, because we're in 103 at Fanboy Versus, so.
Which has exactly what to do with this show?
Numbers.
And it's okay. Probably better than us.
No.
Well.
You have McFeely.
Yeah, I mean, that was going to be my point. You got McFeely.
We actually did make mention yesterday that is really the only redeeming quality. He's the only, like, actual expert, if we would have one.
Yeah. Being that he.
Entertaining to listen to.
Being that he actually worked in a comic book store.
Yeah.
It's amazing that McFeely can work in a comic book store, but simultaneously not be a hugely obese, greasy, balding man.
Yeah, I know.
No offense, JD.
I know. I look like the one that should be working.
Maybe things work differently in Ireland.
I sure must.
Well, you know.
Europe.
I imagine the booze helps.
Yeah.
It must be. It's got to burn. The alcohol burns through all the calories, right? That's how
I suppose.
Got to be it. We'll go with that.
Maybe it's all the effort of talking awesome.
That's got it. There you go. I think you're on to something. It's all the talking awesome. Or talking like all the villains in Star Wars. Yeah.
Yeah, what was up with that?
I don't know.
What did George Lucas have against, you know, English people?
And black people.
Asian people.
Well, and a good chunk of it was filmed in the UK.
Yeah, I think, I mean, okay, sure, you know, go for, like, the truthful answer, you know.
I know, what the hell, dude?
You know.
But it did give us the hilarity of people demanding toys of a bunch of old British dudes in gray shirts.
Washed up old West End Shakespearean actors, yeah.
However, the sad thing is we've never gotten a Grand Moff Tarkin wearing fuzzy slippers toy.
Really? There's an opportunity.
Well, I mean, one of these years it has to happen just by, you know, statistics.
Yeah, I mean, they've put out everything.
They put out a toy of Ice Cream Maker Guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can only do so many Anakins.
Oh, well,
I don't know about that.
Hmm. Have there been more Anakins or more Bumblebees?
They have to do a version of helmetless Vader for each special, for his appearance in each special edition redo.
Oh, man. Come on, helmet off, man. I tell you, though. That's
eyebrows.
You know, you can say what you want about Bumblebee repaints and all that shit, but there is nothing worse than Star Wars figures, man. They have got all kinds of different shit.
Have they ever made a Darth Vader figure that says no?
Probably.
I mean, like literally, yeah.
They haven't had those voiced ones since the old Episode 1 line.
Yeah, oh, God, I mean, they easily could have had that in that line.
Yeah. Oh, God. I had some of those.
What'd they call those chips?
Comlink.
Comtech, yeah.
Something other.
Comtech.
Comtech, that's what it was. Yeah, God.
And, like, there was supposed to be some, like, electronic game board thing that was supposed to use them that never came out.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, Kenner.
Wow.
Okay.
I'm so glad I didn't, like, get heavy into, like, collecting that shit. I started to, and then it was like, oh, God, this is horrible. Why would I want to do this myself?
See, what I was
and yet you keep
was,
coming here.
I was half expecting them to come back in the for the 3D Phantom Menace storyline because, well, they still had a bunch of them left over.
Yeah, they'll have to. I wonder how they would do the 3D figures. I mean, I'm not saying they wouldn't figure it out because they totally would, but I'm sure that they would find a way to have some sort of special.
No, effect. No. This is Phantom Menace 3D. They look exactly the same.
They look exactly.
No, what they need to do is just take the figures and paint them red and blue so they work with anaglyph glasses.
There you go. That's what it is. When you put the anaglyph glasses on.
Then the figures look 3D in front of you.
The figures look 3D. Ah, yes. Brilliant. Send that in.
I am a marketing genius.
Someone write a letter.
Too bad it can't kill Kenner again, though.
Oh, God. Oh, Kenner.
Okay, so speaking of crushing the spirits of toy collectors, tell us about FiguArts exclusives, Paladin. How's that
it's
for a
segue? It's time for shit you can't get.
Well, you can get it.
You just have to pay for it.
Exactly.
Just like your mother.
Forever.
You have to pay much for that.
If I put out a second mortgage, I could get this figure. Sorry, most of our listeners are like, what's a mortgage?
No? I think the listeners who know what a mortgage is are like, you only have one?
You only have one mortgage? Huh. I've leveraged my house 3 times. I'm up to my eyeballs in debt, but look at these 2 FiguArt figures I have.
Yeah, but you like your FiguArts Forze, don't you?
I like it. I don't see me buying, like, a shit ton. You know, I don't see me buying, like, every iteration of every figure of every Rider series I watch. You know, but it's cool. I like it.
Well, that's because you're a healthy individual, JD.
Oh, okay. Like some of the poorly adjusted people that listen to this show.
Well, now, I mean, just ask Ken about it.
Yeah, I was going to. Oh, I was thinking Ken. Oh, I was thinking Ken.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, oh yeah. I was thinking about you.
He doesn't listen to the show.
Anyway, I'm sorry. Shit that will cost you your life.
Yes.
Okay, can we move on with this?
Yeah, that's what I just said.
All right, first thing we found out this week was Tamashii Web Exclusive FiguArts Cheetah Nick.
Eh. Okay, something looks wrong with this.
He looks it's like he has the reverse problem of Axel. He looks bulkier than he should be, which is an odd problem for a figure art.
Okay, so this Nick looks like he should transform into a motorcycle, whereas the show suit obviously looks like it can't transform into a motorcycle.
Right.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah. The GoBusters figure arts are just having all these little odd issues that seems...
Okay, now here's what I want to know. The transforming Nick that came out at the start of GoBusters, is that the right size for a Figuarts to ride?
I don't know.
It's probably pretty close anyway.
I'm just thinking of, you know, the ultimate possibility here of Nick riding himself.
It's probably about the... It's probably standard Bandai action figure size.
So about the size of the Forte Module Change Series, probably?
Give or take.
Which are about figure arts.
Actually, the Forte figures are a little bigger than figure arts.
Yeah, just slightly taller. Like half a head.
The standard figure lines have been getting a little bit bigger every year since Decade started the Final Form Ride series.
Yeah.
Oh, that's it. Okay, I found it.
Although the Kabuto's cast-off riders were a lot bigger.
Huge.
Yeah, I've got Kabuto from that line, and he's definitely bigger than the Figuarts.
I mean, they would kind of have to be just to accommodate the gimmick, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know, he looks like he could realistically rev his handles, so...
Well, it's a Figuart. Of course it can reach up and rev its own handle.
That's all you really need out of the figure.
I mean, look at it this way. Remember Air Attack Optimus Primal years ago?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, that toy can reach around and scratch his own butt.
Oh.
So, I mean, and that's important.
It is. I have a picture of it.
They should have put that on the packaging for it.
But, yeah, you know, exactly. I mean... If that toy can do that...
Well, but it was released in RID. They would have had to have it... They would have had to state it in three different languages.
Bullet point can fling own feces.
No. The Robots in Disguise stuff didn't have the three languages that started with Armada.
Well, it did actually, but Air Attack Primal was a exclusive, so it didn't have it.
Anyway.
Hmm.
But anyway, you know, if that kind of toy can scratch its own butt, then surely the Figuarts Nick can reach up and twiddle his own throttle.
Sure,
These are the important things we have to think about when considering these toys. You know, can it make vague masturbation references for you? Okay, so what's up after Nick?
Well, speaking of not-so-vague references, Figuarts Buster Yellow in a two-pack with USADA.
And for 5,000-something yen.
Yes.
Now multiply that price, and you'll have what you'll be paying.
Multiply it by what?
Probably twice.
Yeah.
Or 25, something, yeah. I'm very glad now I'm not really interested in the GoBuster Figure Arts, because that's not happening.
It's a little
I gotta admit, I did kind of expect them to put USADA in a two-pack with Yellow, because he's nowhere near big enough to sell by himself.
Yeah.
So we haven't had solicitations for Blue and Gurusaki yet, have we?
I would imagine those would be separate releases.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they will.
And those elbows look even worse on her than they do on Red.
They still don't bug me.
And something still seems off about the proportions.
That's entirely possible.
That's because it's Yoko. She's supposed to be like a foot taller than everyone else.
Shh.
Wait, foot shorter, sorry.
I was waiting.
Okay. There we go.
Well, yeah, this depends on which Yoko we're talking about. Are we talking about suited Yoko or unsuited Yoko?
Well, and you know, it's kind of like in Jungle Fury, their Yellow was a foot taller than Blue.
Except when they morphed.
Yes, until they morphed, then they reversed. Good casting. So, what else?
Okay, from Forze, we have Figuarts Virgo Horoscope.
I'm just waiting on Cancer.
Yes. Well, if they're keeping the pattern, Cancer's next.
Good. That one I actually will try and find a way to get for a decent price. And
yeah, right.
No, it's actually not that hard to get one for a decent price nowadays.
Guess it's like the dope hunts.
Yeah.
Or the greed.
Nobody or any of the greed.
I mean, or any of the exclusive. I didn't break the bank getting Yellow and Pink from Gokaiger.
You would now.
Now, but that's because I bought them when I found them for a decent price.
Yeah, but you can't do that anymore is the point.
Yeah. This is why you have to be on the ball.
Yeah, well, I think you're on the wrong show for that.
Yeah, I know.
Well, Paladin?
Okay, finally, the Machine Meteor Star, Kamen Rider Meteor's bike.
Eh. That we never see.
Well, until it drives in on its own to shoot people.
Yeah.
Who needs a motorcycle when you can just, you know, beam in
with disco
music?
Yeah, this is true. He's like, he needs a motorcycle less than like any other rider.
I mean, if I could teleport around in a big blue ball that blares out disco music when I land, why would I travel any other way?
It's a very good point.
Mm.
It's like bad when in the last 15 episodes, the only person to use it has been Kengo. Like, Gintara even had to loan him his own bike.
Well, and think of it this way, too. In Double, the Hardboiler spent most of his time sitting outside the detective office.
Yeah, but Shotaro rode it around everywhere, too. So you got
but
to see it all.
But hardly ever when he was transformed.
Yeah. But regardless, you got to see it all the time, either way.
But, it's just not like Ryusei can ride around on the Meteor Star.
This is true.
Who is
this guy in the satellite bike?
Oh, nobody at school will notice.
That's a mite suspicious.
I don't know. I mean, because I'm going back over Double. It seems like you're seeing. I mean, in Double, I'm seeing the bike in almost like every episode. I'm up through like 14 or so.
The tubular attachment, pretty
turbular.
Turbular.
The hard tubular is the 90s attachment.
Yeah, that's a different thing.
With like belts and pouches and stuff.
Yeah. God. And everything's really sketchy, you know? It's got and lots of guns. and cables there for some reason.
But you never see his feet touching the ground.
No.
Pointy. They wouldn't be able to balance.
And his spine bends the wrong way.
I love
pouches.
The 90s.
Lots of pouches.
I love 90s stuff. I'll
draw more pouches. But anyway, the motorcycle is featured really prominently, especially compared to like what I've seen in Forza, where it's that's a thing that's there occasionally.
You have to understand with the Hardboiler too is there was a small scale toy of that because of the attachment gimmick.
Yeah.
So they actually had something out there from the start to advertise that in the Rivalgary.
Yeah, and they've only done like the launch sequence with Forze's bike and Powerdizer like what, twice?
Twice, three times if you count the movie.
Yeah. So okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, let's show off this gimmick twice in the first 3 months of the show, and that's gonna be it.
Just like the Powerdizer.
Yeah. Remember that thing?
To be fair, though, the Powerdizer got a lot more use than any of us expected it to in the first
series. Yeah, because it was a thing for a while. It's like, oh, the Powerdizer is still showing up.
Yeah. Because that was the stand-in for a secondary rider early in the series.
Then once Ryusei appeared.
Yeah. Oh, well, they had to put the money into the disco music instead.
Good choice, in my opinion.
Yeah, that stuff don't play itself. What?
Mm.
Paladin,
that's who.
Continue. Paladin, it's silent. You can talk again.
Wanna bet?
Well, give it a try.
All right. All four of those will be out in October for anyone who cares.
Or, you know, just talk louder and talk over everybody else. If you can't figure out how to do that, just ask Fort Max. He knows all about it.
True facts.
Isn't Cosmic State supposed to come out sometime, too?
It's retail in August or September, right?
Yay! That's called Anniversary Present.
Yep. Cosmic States is September.
Ah, okay. Perfect. A little later than Ultimate Forms have been the past couple of years, because Extreme and Puto Terra were both in August.
So, JD, does your wife always get you expensive toys for anniversary presents?
Sometimes. I don't know. Yeah. For a while, like for the first few years, she tried to get really sentimental stuff, and then she realized that really all I want are expensive toys.
Well, I mean, I remember a couple years ago she got you the Superion add-on set.
Yep. Yeah, that was like not last year, but the year before, I think. Yep. So yeah, she got me the Superion set and the Superion add-on set. So yeah, that's what I mean. Like for the first like 2 years or so, you know, I think she tried to get me like sentimental stuff, and I was like, oh, that's cool. And then she started getting me toys, and I was like, oh my God, yeah! And so she realized she got a better reaction out of those. So that's where we go now. So yeah, it'll be cosmic. Cosmic on. Yeah.
Yes.
I need that song when it comes out.
Yeah.
Do we have any ETA on the next DS Kamen Rider game?
DS? Oh, for rips and stuff?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because that's the best source of sound effects lately.
It usually come out like in the fall or so, right?
All Kamen Rider Generation 2?
That's worth a try anyway.
It says August 2nd, according to the release schedule.
Okay, so sometime after that, we should have new sound effect rips.
Yay!
Sweet!
Hooray!
More stuff for my phone.
More stupid stuff for XV to put in the show.
You don't get that enough of that from us just talking?
Well, I gotta put extra stupid stuff in between that stupid stuff.
What, Ford Max doesn't talk enough?
Actually, no, he doesn't.
See?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
exactly.
There you go.
All right, anything else coming up?
Yeah, the new Beat and Stag machines will be released in 2 weeks, I think. I haven't been paying close attention to them.
Now, the Beetle Crane actually looks pretty decent, especially compared to Ace's toy.
Yeah, if I see those on Mandarake later, I might pick them up.
Not gonna jump in on them fresh off the shelf?
No, I kind of got burned out after Go Buster O.
Yeah, understandable.
I don't really touch DX toys anyway, so...
Well.
Besides, the new ones are fairly easy to find. There's like three full sets of Go Buster O on Mandarake right now.
Cheap?
Last I saw it, Go Buster Ace was like 2,500 yen, but that one might have sold.
Jeez. That's cheap. That's, what, less than half retail?
Wow.
Roughly?
Probably, yeah. Yes.
That doesn't seem like a good showing.
Yeah.
Now everybody's still probably buying the f***ing Ranger keys.
Money better spent.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't even agree to that.
The problem with the GoBuster Ranger key specifically is it only works with the Legends Mobi rates, which loses most of the cool stuff from the original Mobi rates, including the O's key sound.
Ironic.
Well, it's like the most Bandai America move Bandai Japan has made that I can remember. And that's kind of saying something.
Yeah. Then you have the black joints on the GoBusters.
Uh-oh.
Oh, those aren't a big deal.
What?
What?
Huh?
What?
What was the uh-oh?
Uh-oh.
More tornadoes?
Uh-oh? Oh, no, no, no. I was just saying uh-oh.
Oh, okay.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's someone down the toilet.
Yeah.
Oh, that was me!
JD, I forgot to ask, did you survive the tornadoes last week?
Yeah, we all died.
Well.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Yes, we survived.
Oh, no, it was better luck next time.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. Sorry
to
disappoint
you
all.
After all, you're still alive in Oklahoma.
Yeah. And no, the tornado was kind of heading right at us, though.
Shit.
And it just, like, died out. So I was like,
At BotCon, Brian Savage told us the greatest joke. He said, how come Texas doesn't fall off into the ocean? Because Oklahoma sucks.
Yeah, this is very f***ing hilarious.
Well, the best part, though, is that he said it right to JD's face.
Yeah, he did too. And I was like, yes, that's f***ing hilarious. I haven't heard that 5 billion times from other Texans.
Of course, I made the best joke of the whole weekend as Kilby and I drove out of Arkansas. You probably saw that on Twitter late Wednesday night.
Dude, I was in a coma for like a week after
that. That again?
What was it?
Something about why the Trail of Tears ended in Oklahoma, because they were just happy to be out of Arkansas.
Ah, there you go.
Yes!
Tears of joy.
So yeah. Did you intend to leave your recording going last week when you bailed, or was that an accident?
Not even thinking, dude. I was just I was like, okay.
Mickey and I were sitting here like,
Well, because I honestly, here's what I was thinking. I was like, I planned on getting up and going and looking because, okay, the tornadoes when they, this is totally boring shit, by the way.
Well, that's superhero time.
I'll be the judge of that.
When the tornado sirens go off, they go off for the entire county. But typically a tornado is really only dangerous for like a mile or two.
Right.
So if you're anywhere outside of that, you're fine. And the tornado prediction stuff here is really good. I mean, they have it down to like the block.
Well, I mean, they kind of have to, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I mean, we get tornadoes and shit here all the time. So they have the accuracy down to within like the city block that you're on. So I fully anticipated to like get up, look at the TV, and it's like, okay, it's on the other side of the county, and then come back and sit down. But when I, you know, got up and saw that it was like heading at us, I was like, oh shit. And like all, you know, relevant connection to what was going on, you know, otherwise like disappeared. Cause I was like trying to herd the cats and get, you know, blankets and shit in the hallway. And, you know, and then it
herding
died out.
Cats, man. That's like herding cats.
It is. Herding cats. I know. I like herding cats.
But yeah, we just sat here and it's like the sirens were drowning out what we were trying to say. And it was like,
I listened to some of last week's show, you know, for
Fort Max and I were kind of in favor of just leaving it.
Yeah.
But... I'm like, we want to listen to JD's like horrific death. on the radio, that'd be great. It would have made great radio. If you're like, oh man, podcast. I mean, this show could have become famous on the back of my death.
Yes.
Made a video of it, you know, just put some kind of background video to it and put it on YouTube and be like, oh man, listen to this horrible podcaster's death recorded live on the, you know, on this weird podcast, you know, and yeah, it'd be great.
The most listeners we'd ever get.
Yeah, it would be totally.
It would probably
be the most quality thing ever to happen to the show.
Yeah,
probably.
So what were we talking about before?
I don't know. Your mom.
Yes, always. Gundam?
Of course.
Pokemon. It was probably Pokemon. Let's go.
I think we were talking about the deluxe Beetlezord.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
I think JD's store was more interesting.
Probably.
Yeah, so, you know, deluxe Beetle machines, those exist.
They'll be out in a couple weeks, but I'm passing on them for now because there's too much stuff I want in June.
Like what?
Samus, Breakdown. I was going to get Technoman, but damn it, Max Factory pushed it back a month.
Did you say Max Factor? What's that?
Yeah.
They're the people who make Figmas.
Oh. Of your imagination?
So... it's possible Bluefin is going to get to distribute Chogokin Daijujin.
Yes, they've been tweeting about that all week, in fact.
Yeah. So that'll be kind of awesome because it'll save you some of the exchange rate.
Definitely.
Well, it would have, in theory.
And on shipping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they can at least get it through... if they can at least, you know, get it through BBTS or Amazon or something...
Well, if they can distribute it, those two will probably pick it up at minimum.
Right. And they put all their stuff on Amazon anyway.
And you'd be able to get it ordered through like a comic book store, most likely, too.
It's this thing.
I'm trying to learn stuff. It's the it's the Megazord. It's the original. It's what the Zoo Ranger mech.
Jew Ranger.
Jew Ranger. Hey.
Yeah.
They kept all the money.
Nobody knows why the English spelling is with a Z.
Well,
it just is.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like in Russian, there's no J to figure that out.
But they have a J sound in Japanese.
Right, but not in
Japanese has no V sound, though.
Yeah, that's a little bit of an issue.
It's the most popular pre-order on AmiAmi right now.
I wonder why.
Not really.
Because it's still actually open for pre-order.
I kind of want this, and I totally blame XV for it, and I'm going to punch him in the nuts the next time I see him, because I'm probably going to try to buy this.
Should have videotape it.
I will video it. It is totally
wrong. The arms are wrong, but I hope you can turn the arms around correctly.
Yeah, the arms are wrong.
Permanently wrong?
Possibly. We don't really know, but since all the photos show the arms in exactly the same orientation, I'm going to say yeah. Yeah. I agree. Kind of blows.
And we also haven't seen any evidence of tiny hands.
In fact, we've seen anti-evidence of tiny hands. We've seen open, same-size hands. So that kind of sucks, too. If this was a Transformers product, I'm sure we could count on somebody to make custom tiny hands to put on it.
What we need to do is find people who'd be willing to do that.
I'm still disappointed they're not putting in a first release Radbug.
I mean, is there anything else they could really put in as a first release bonus with that?
Hmm.
I mean, you don't really associate that with much of anything besides the normal stuff it comes with.
If there was a first release bonus, we would have already seen it on the pre-orders.
No, I know that. I'm just saying, though, is there even anything that would, like, fit with it for a first release bonus?
Not really, I don't think.
Just too simple.
Yeah. Back before the days when there were 500 Zords for every...
You know what would be awesomely hilarious? If the first run bonus was Mega Dragon Zord parts. Can you just imagine?
Wow.
You know, it'd be a whole replacement head unit. You know, the shoulder pads and everything are just connected to the head and it hangs down over the side like normal. It'd be really easy to pull off.
Yeah.
Which is why it won't happen.
That would be hilarious. You want a Mega Dragon Zord? Better buy the first one.
God.
It's just like that time the 2010 Dragon Zord didn't happen.
No, the pre-order bonus is the 2010 Dragon Zord.
Oh, yeah, those arms are permanent wrong.
Very possibly.
You can see pictures. Well, because you can see, that's the way they intended to do that.
It would be possible for there to still be a swivel at the top of the forearm so that they could be turned the correct way.
Yeah, but then they wouldn't. If you look at where that foot joint, the foot pad is, they've made it like an elbow brace. So I don't think you would get any rotation out of it if you turn it around.
I don't think it's a total deal breaker, though, just like the GoBuster elbows.
Well, with the Chogokin releases, there is a bit of leeway they tend to have in their designs, just a bit. They're, but like, not entirely show accurate.
But it's wrong. I'm not really seeing where the confusion is here. It's just, it's not right. Any more news?
And that's how I pissed on your mother.
Yes. Do we have any more news?
Well, that's it for merchandise. There's just a couple other things.
Okay, let's go through that quickly.
All right. South Korea will be airing Gokaiger as Power Rangers Captain Force.
JD laughed so loud it killed my internet connection.
That's what it was.
Oh, good. You kept that bit then?
Here's what Marvelous has been up to.
Oh, no.
Not that. Please, let's move on.
Oh, wow.
So, did anybody say anything relevant about Pirate Force after I dropped?
I was just saying that...
No. You were just laughing.
I was just saying that, and here I thought Mega Force was bad.
Captain Force. Okay, so, last bit of news.
Yes, the actor who played Master Tao in VR Troopers and probably one episode of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers passed away last week.
Well, he was kind of old.
He was only 68.
That's kind of old.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, that show was on like 50
years. Grimlord's actor.
Yeah, Grimlord's actor was a surprise. This is like, oh, the old guy died. Well, you have to remember, XV just doesn't feel sympathy.
Really? I hadn't noticed.
Huh. You mean you're a heartless bastard? I had no idea.
Yeah.
It must be the cow.
I know it's shocking, but it's the burden I must live with.
XV is dicks? Never would have guessed.
Okay, so... Time for space time?
Well, we don't have any other option this week, do we?
Not space time?
Time for not space time?
We could just, you know, sit here for the next 24 minutes.
I'm going to space.
In silence. And...
Well, we could all laugh at how stupid Captain Force is.
God. We're all captains on this Captain Force. This is Captain Crunch.
I really want to
Captain
hear
Caveman.
What, I really want to hear what the Captain Bone sounds like.
This is Captain Planet, Captain Caveman, Captain Crunch.
My cousin, Captain
you.
My cousin, Captain Ireland.
Wait, what about Captain Kangaroo?
Yes, Captain Kangaroo.
Captain Kangaroo.
Hey.
Hey. Well, it's a lot of our childhood.
Yes.
Okay, not really, but...
Not me, I'm not that old.
Yeah, it's not...
You're about the same age I am.
I can remember when he was alive. Does that count?
I remember watching Captain Kangaroo on TV.
I think it was reruns. I guess maybe it was new run still for a while. Fuck, I'm old.
Yeah. Oh, so did we decide on doing Space Time then?
Yes, it is Space Time.
Space Time.
Switch on.
Well, let's see. JD.
Oh, damn it.
Oh,
I knew that was
Oh, this will be fun.
All right. Who's got an hour? No. No, it's not that bad, really. Actually,
we have all the time we need since Mickey's not here tonight. Yeah.
this episode actually moves pretty quickly. So I may be able to get through it with haste if someone doesn't stop to, like, correct me on minute details every 10 seconds.
Well, oh, crap, we're going to be here for a while.
So I don't know who that would be.
Make haste!
Anyway, so, it's the end of the fight with,
Aquarius
and Forze and Meteor.
If it helps you to remember, she's the cupbearer.
She is the cupbearer.
She is definitely bearing some cups right there.
She definitely is bearing some cups in that suit. We've come a long way from Cancer, or Scorpio, I guess. Yeah.
It's like, well, and Cancer. Cancer didn't really have much of a wreck.
Well, Cancer destroys cups anyway.
Right. So, anyway, for some reason they stop fighting and she leaves. So we're on to the Aline is basically still pissed off about
everything.
Everything? Really everything. But in particular, her feeling that what's her name? Cheated.
Yuki?
Yuki
was a cheat.
Yusuke.
Useless.
Yuki. Anyway. So, we go back to class. I think we go back to class.
Yes.
And they announce the people that are going to be the four to move on in the I'm going to space competition. Maybe. Because they haven't been real clear. They say they might be astronauts, but they might go to space, but they might not. I don't know.
I think it's like candidates.
Yeah, it's like candidates to maybe
go. They'll go when they have the money for space flight, which is... Right. 70 years, probably.
Well, I don't know. The way they're, raping us on the exchange rate, I think they're going to have their money all pretty soon here.
Especially if, as the more buyers of the toys, come along. That's the whole deal, really. That's the plan for the Japanese space program. We'll promote space through toys. Americans to give us money for our toys. Yes.
Or is this true sinister secret?
Yes. There you go. Foundation X is absolutely like the Japanese government.
Well, that's not that secret.
They're still mad that we melted their people, and so they want... Anyway.
So they keep melting our wallets.
Yes. Very good. All right. And they announced...
Where does the tentacle rape figure in? I'm unclear on that.
That's just a joke. That's just an in-joke, because none of the Japanese actually watch that. It's
that's
just something they
play O's toys.
Right. It's just a thing they send over to us and laugh.
No, the correct answer is tentacle rape fits in anywhere that's open.
Ah, that is good. I like that better.
And as long as you have a nickel.
Anywhere it'll go.
No, I'm pretty sure tentacle rape is free.
Is that like the deal when they do the stuff with like the octopus and fish and things?
I think that's why they cut the hot dogs in the shape of an octopus, yes.
Ah, there you go. Okay. Cool.
It's a bit.
You've seen those O's role play toys, haven't you, JD?
Which ones? O's? No, probably not.
No, I don't think JD has seen the Shout of Battle dildos.
I think we've been over this before, actually.
Sounds maybe it does sound familiar. I don't know.
I think we did that, but come on, go ahead with Forze.
I'm sure I already told the story about the prostitutes that my dad saw, but anyway. The coins.
JD's right. Dad is a preacher, by the way.
Yes, Reverend Ron. Anyway, that was before he was a minister. Anyway.
Well, no, now you spoiled it, JD. It's supposed to sound like he's gone through all these experiences while he's been.
Oh, he was a minister? No, no, no. Yeah. That would be funny. Anyway, so so they picked the four. The guy you haven't heard of. See, I told you, I'm bad with names.
Pingo.
Aline, and then surprisingly, the other girl. Yeah. I'm not going to say her name anymore. So I'll let you guys do that. Anyway, so surprisingly, she's going to go, which makes Aline really f***ing pissed.
Really, I'm saying something.
I've never known anyone that just, like, basically yelled like that as regular conversation. I've known some pissed off even women in my life. And, like, I mean, I even had a girlfriend that I lived with that was extremely unstable. And even she didn't yell that much. Just saying. But, so she's really pissed off, and she's going to, like, beat the shit out of her. Because
she's just going to throw down in the middle of the classroom.
Yeah, she's just going to
show the art switch and start whipping people.
But Gintaro, you know, chases after him. Is like, no, it's cool. They're gonna be great rivals. You know, you have a lot in common, which just pisses her off even more. I have nothing in common with that crazy woman. I'm like,
you're just as crazy, except you're evil.
You might have more than you think. You know that thing where it's like you really hate somebody. Might be because you're too much alike. Yeah. So anyway, she marches off and, anyway, Gintaro basically tells her he's going to convince her that, you know, they have a reason to be rivals. In the meantime, she's off thinking by herself and decides to beat the shit out of people.
Just anyone nearby.
Random. Just like, walk along. And she's like, no, I'm pissed off. It's like hearing what Gintaro said in her head, and she's like, "No, I'm mad!" And like
just randomly beat the shit out of strangers.
Aquarius, and just start. Even the dude walking by with headphones on, who didn't even hear that she was like tearing into people, and like that was my favorite part. With headphones on, completely oblivious to what's going on around him, walks into the scene, and she like grabs him and throws him. I'm like, that poor bastard had no idea.
Aline, smash!
Smash! And, Meteor that stops her, actually. Meteor starts fighting her, and I can't remember what he said, but it was something, I can't remember why she ended up stopping, but it was something about Gintaro.
Gintaro asked him to make sure she didn't hurt anybody.
Right.
And that was it.
Yeah, because
don't defeat her. Just make sure she doesn't hurt anybody.
Just make sure she didn't hurt anybody. Because I mean, we've pretty much established at this point that she can get away with a lot because she can heal. So,
and because she's female,
she's taken five different finishing attacks at this point.
And because of the cups.
Yeah, it's mainly the cups.
It's cushion.
The
cups are why she keeps shrugging off those attacks. They just are bouncing right back off.
That's it. That's gotta be it.
Meanwhile, Gintaro's been busy talking to the chairman.
Which is great.
Those things can't be real.
So, no.
Of course they're not real. It's Japan.
So Gintaro goes right in one of my favorite parts of this episode. He goes running off and he's like, to meet with the chairman because he wants to ask him a question. So he comes up and he's really like reserved at first, and he asks, if he can ask why she had been picked to to be part of the program. And he's like, oh, sure, I'll make sure that I tell the lady that was running the whole deal to be ready for you. And he's like, oh my god, and like completely in Gintaro fashion, like runs up and like shakes his hand and like, oh, that was so great. And Leo about shit bricks. He was like, oh my god. And then to add like insult to injury, the chairman's like, oh no, you are the special one. And Leo is like, but totally. So Gintaro
out of stamped skin.
Yeah. So Gintaro goes running off and meets up with the lady. And we don't see that conversation
till later.
But in the meantime, are they getting ready? I can't remember What comes right after that?
Gintara's jogging along in the park.
Well, is that that's what it is? They just cut. They just do the quick cut. Yeah, because yeah. He comes out. He comes out. So he's like jogging through the park. He's so excited. He's find out what he wants, and all of a sudden gets attacked by Leo. And Leo's like, "You bastard! He loves you. I hate you.
You?
Why does he love you? You touched him. Why does he love you and not me?"
Then he falls off a bridge.
Yeah, and then he falls.
Gintara was smart, at least smart enough to realize, you know, I can't beat this motherfucker.
Yeah, he like didn't. I mean, he, you know, of course he transforms into Forza, but
that was mostly just to run away.
Yeah, but it was great because he actually transformed in the middle of being beaten up.
I would love to do that.
Yeah, so it's like he's like dodging hits and trying to get through the 1-2-3 so he can henshin.
It takes away like the you know, suspension of disbelief that they're going to just sit there and wait for him to transform.
Yeah. So that was pretty cool. And I mean, I like that particular part. But yeah, we totally like it thrown off in the river. And
is this an Inway episode?
No, he already befriended the river.
Right.
Yeah.
He's been jumping off bridges since the first episode.
River carried him away because it was his friend.
Yeah, the river is his ally now.
He's learned to use it for good instead of evil.
I want that to be a plot point in the summer movie.
God.
Instead of the next series writer coming to his defense in the middle of the huge battle, the river just rises up and does it for him.
Awesome. Well, if it's a writer movie, it would have to be the Edo period river.
Yes. God. So he goes running off. And so we cut back to the four students, the guy you never heard of, and the three others that you have, getting ready for their competition. And they've been paired off. So you've got Eileen and
Kengo.
And then you've got the guy you haven't heard of, and yes, her.
Yes.
Yuki.
It's not that hard.
Apparently it is.
Apparently it is, exactly. Anyway.
And if you go by some creepy comments on Twitter, yeah, it really is that hard.
God. Wow.
The first couple weeks of Forze were a little bit awkward. God,
don't remind me.
Wow. That's sad. Anyway, so their job is to have a race, basically. They're going off in teams. They have supplies. They're trying to
figure out which one's the real prime.
Yeah, and yes, exactly. Because that makes sense.
Must we?
G1 is so great.
Fighter,
that's a fucking lie.
G1 forever.
G1 forever is so great. Chuck Not Monkey.
It's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
God. So the little funny bit is that Yuki has to go across this bridge, and she's a little afraid of the bridge. And I don't mind. Like, I don't falter that because I'm afraid of heights too. But she's freaked out a little bit, like so much that she tried to like draw something on her hand and eat it. I'm like, this girl's up. But anyway, so they start the race and they're running off, and in the middle of it, Eileen's like, and then bitches out, and, like she's gone. So Kengo's like, what?
Well, now when you say bitches out, you act like she's ever not a bitch through this whole process.
No, I'm using it in the sense of like just like fucking vanishes.
She ninja vanishes.
She Houdini's like out, you know. And what she does is she runs up and finds Yuki and like pushes her down a ridge.
She didn't even use a segue.
No. No.
Well, just, no, it wasn't really a cliff. It was more, you know, just a ravine.
Yeah, it's more like a ravine.
Girl, she throws her down the stairs.
Segways aren't good for going over ravines. They're made of cliffs.
They're actually really good for also going off into ponds and drowning yourself.
Anyway. Yeah, but that doesn't make as funny of a one-liner.
No, it doesn't. Although it's still funny that he died on a Segway. Anyway.
That's the whole point.
Right. Anyway. So she comes tumbling down a cliff and supposedly it breaks her leg or ankle or something. So she's just going to lay there and whine. Meanwhile, her partner's like, where did she go? And Eileen comes back and Kengo begin to move on. Now, in the meantime, Gintaro finally shows up.
The best entrance ever.
For using Rocket Stay, it's like flies into the ground and basically does like almost like a comical crash laying on the ground. Like
it's,
Mr.
It's
Bean.
It's basically a repeat of how he showed up in Oh, It's Wonderful.
Except this time he remembered his hair gel.
It reminded me of like it's Mr. Bean. The intro of Mr. Bean where like the light comes on and he just kind of slams on the ground and like gets up. It was sort of like that. But he's like, hey, Aline, by the way, I found out why Yuki was like so determined. She was determined. And there was this whole deal where, like, you know, she thought she stole the camera, but actually there was a note and she was supposed to hide it to, like, make a challenge for the team. And she had to keep it secret. And
Kingo
was like, yeah, I got the same note. And I had to hide some soundboard parts or something. And Aline's like, oh, my God. But the best part, Kintaro's like, all right, that's great. So have a good race. And starts to leave. And Elaine's like, I gotta go do something. So she does the right thing and goes, runs off to Yuki and like reveals herself as Aquarius and heals her leg and, you know, was like, okay, let's finish the race, you know, and be cool, you know, and we'll be rivals, you know. So they go running off and they finish the race and they finish the race together. And then awesome happens.
Yeah, because this went a completely different way than I was actually expecting.
I know. I was like,
okay, at this point, I was thinking, okay, they're all buddy-buddy. Libra or Virgo's going to show up, mind wiper, and then she's going to go evil. But no!
Yeah, I totally expected like some kind of
mind control.
Yeah, or mind control.
They've done that before.
And there's something where it's like, you know, they would do something.
They've done that. Done it to the police officers every so often.
Every time a new batch of them come looking around.
They did that with the Zodiart when a meteor first appeared. Gintaro got through to him, but then Libra showed up and he's like, nope.
Yeah, so I totally expected something like that. I mean, I really expected a mundane ending, but no. So Gintaro, like, so Aline starts to run off, and Gintaro goes after him. He's like, no, let's be friends, you know? And she totally is like, no. She's like, I want to. You know, you can see that she wants to, but, you know, she respects the chairman, and, I mean,
she carefully does it all without telling him who
she respects the horse dope's boss.
The horse dope's boss.
Because they still have to drag that out for, like, another 10 episodes.
Yeah. But she says, you know, she's a Zodiar, and she respects that, and she's, made a commitment to that, and she legitimately made
a choice to join them and wasn't just manipulated into it.
Right, and I'm like, oh my God. And Gintaro, like, from that moment, he's like, okay.
Then let's settle this one-on-one.
And yeah, and like, I'm like, oh my God, they're going to do this. And it's beautiful. I mean, it's like, you know, I mean, yeah, semi-cliche. I'm not going to say it's not, but it was still really well done because it starts to rain. And there's just like the beginning of the duel sequence when it's two fighters who, you know, really have a fight of honor. You know,
he says for nobody to interfere and just looks right at Ryusei.
That was great. It was like nobody interfere. And
nobody interfere.
Yeah, and to Ryusei's credit, he doesn't. You know, even so much as to, like, stop Yuki at one point, you know, from, like, running up. And so they kind of, you know, stare each other down for a while, and they transform. And, you know, he goes basically straight to Cosmic. And the fight begins, and there's really not much to it, because there's not even
any music.
Yeah, it is really kind of creepy and awesome in that way.
Because the first thing he does is break the cups.
He uses Cosmic. He activates Claw, puts Claw into the sword, which basically makes like a super claw.
Yeah, and a triple blade sword, basically.
Yeah.
He could hit both cups at once. Hits
both cups at once, which breaks both cups, which, I mean, and we've talked about Gintaro being, you know, intuitive.
More perceptive than people give him credit for.
And yeah, I mean,
even Ryusei had not figured out yet how to stop Aquarius.
Yeah, I mean, he had an idea because he aimed for one of the cups before.
Yeah, but only one of them.
Right.
Well, he did figure out Leo before this, so yeah, they're kind of even on figuring out how to take out the horoscope.
Both of them are good.
Ryusei with Leo is basically Ryusei's martial arts training coming through, where he's focusing on just one point to create a weakness in his opponent, whereas Gintaro is doing trial and error to just figure out what's going to work to end the fight.
Right. Right.
Yeah, and so, like I said, it's like, you know, credit where credit's due. I mean, he figures it out, you know, which breaks her healing, and then they, you know, face off. And in a very sort of classic, you know, Japanese anime style.
This reminded me a lot of that, anybody who's seen Kabuto know what I mean. That one fight early on when he does the clock up.
In the baseball field.
The rain.
Yeah.
And it's, the entire fight is basically like that with the raindrops just suspended.
Yeah. Of course, that went on a lot longer than this.
Yeah, yeah. But it instantly reminded me of that.
Yeah, me too.
It's a nice shot.
But they, but of course they do like the, you know, final hit towards each other. I mean, he activates the, you know, cosmic end of the sword, slash across, and he, you know, hits her dead on, and she falls and explodes.
And you can tell he knows that Virgo's just going to show up and grab her at this point, because that's happened with every other horoscope.
Yeah. And that's what happens.
Like, fight it, because at this point he can't.
Yeah. But the chairman ends up doing the same thing that he did who was the last?
Capricorn.
Wipes her memory, you know, takes her switch, sends her on her way. And so, you know, it's kind of cool because now they're going to have a chance to become friends sort of again from the beginning, because there's a little, like, denouement where they're talking and she's like, I don't know you guys. And it's, oh, we're really great friends. She's like, oh, that's great. We're going to space, whatever.
Meanwhile, the guy that we'd never seen before turns out to be the next horoscope.
No! No! Shocking. Yeah, that is totally the deal. So,
yeah.
So
there you go. He's Taurus. And we only have two more horoscopes left.
Taurus? I call bullshit.
Well, there's more than two, to be honest, because we know Red Eye Man is Sagittarius, but we haven't seen him in horoscope form.
Yeah, there are two unknown guys yet.
There's two people that have not been revealed. There's two, their identities have not been
revealed.
And Virgo hasn't been revealed either.
Right, but there are two horoscopes that haven't shown up at all yet.
And really, Gemini could be two people.
Ooh. Ooh, I hadn't thought of that, but that's good.
That could be interesting.
That could be interesting. Hmm. Huh. So there you go. What was my time on that?
Oh crap, the recorder wasn't running.
What?
Whatever.
No, I'm kidding.
Long pause.
What?
What was my time on that?
Oh, 24 minutes.
Come on.
Length of the episode.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Man. And
I just stopped asking at a certain point.
Well, JD's more self-conscious about it.
I am.
He is.
So next week we get Taurus.
Hey, Taurus.
We just talked about that.
And with his hair down. What?
Because the student council is becoming draconian.
Right. All right, cool. There you go.
That'll be fun.
There was a not preview for the movies coming up in October.
Yeah, that was a very good not preview. It's like, thing that's going to happen. It's going to be here.
You'll learn. They do that every time.
A thing is going to happen that we have nothing for yet. Watch for it. What?
Yeah. You're still filming it.
We're still writing it.
It might be true. We haven't seen anything from it.
Do it like a Lucasfilm. You write the script after you finish shooting.
I thought that was a Revenge of the Fallen.
You can just green screen in the rest.
Actually, no. Revenge of the Fallen would be, okay, we're going to shoot this. Don't even bother writing the rest of the script.
No. All right,
it's just a waste of time.
And put some balls on that thing.
It always comes back to the balls with you, doesn't it?
Well, when they're
not always.
They're right on the tip of his tongue.
Yes.
What? All right, Mega?
Well, while Paladin chokes that down, we're going to go take a break, and we'll come back with power playback in a minute.
Yay.
Hey, everybody, it's your old friend John DeLuna, and do you like video games? Do you like people who like video games? Well, if so, you gotta listen to New Soundwave. It's the weekly video game podcast of record. news, rumors, in-depth discussion of new and retro gaming, plus the occasional contest or giveaway. So if you game, you gotta listen to New Soundwave. Check us out at tfradio.net, a proud member of the Transformers Internet Radio Network.
The third strike, y'all, is Street Fighter 3.
It's time for Power Playback. Look for Power Playback every Friday on Twitter at superhero_time.
This week on Power Playback, it's Movie Wars Mega Max. 7 months later.
Yay.
Yeah. So let's talk about that.
Well, this was my introduction to...
Ken, get under the bus.
Yay, go Ken.
How did I ever guess?
We're the two bitches of this show.
Because there's no Go-Busters, that's why.
See, this is why I cursed when he handed Forza to JD. See,
yeah, because you knew.
Well, like, the only other options are Paladin and Fort Max.
Well, let's play
this. Okay, so, meteors are falling.
I should be offended, but you're right.
Or, and his option was, if he would have gone for me, then it would have been an hour and a half long. So, you know.
I'm not sure it won't be anyway.
True.
Screw you. Okay, so meteors are falling on Earth. They nearly hit a hobo. Unfortunately,
wait,
they missed.
Ryusei's in this movie?
What's that?
Ryusei's in this movie?
No. Other hobo.
The hobo with the underpants.
Meteors.
Mm. Yes. So, the seven legendary Kamen Riders are out and about all across the world fighting Masquerade, Dust Lords.
Did the seven legendary Riders come out of the meteors then? Or what's going on? I don't understand.
What?
They're fighting the things that came out of the meteors, I think.
No.
They're fighting the mooks that are also trying to get the meteors.
Oh.
The heroes, both the heroes and villains are both looking at it. But the mooks are controlled by Foundation X.
You know, I've started to figure it kind of has to suck to be one of the seven legendary riders, because apparently that means you can never, ever stop being a rider, no matter how old you get.
That's pretty right.
One thing I do like that makes this movie stand out better to me than most of the times they've appeared recently is that they, regardless of the fact of whether or not they got anybody back, they gave every single one of them a voice. And that does help a lot.
They all have actual lines other than their name.
Yeah, and that does actually
help.
And
they actually are showing up at the beginning instead of just, okay, showing up out of nowhere at the very end for whatever reason.
Right. It does a lot to make them not just seem like nameless people in suits.
I wonder who played Rider Man, because it obviously wasn't Gackt this time.
Well, no. Gackt was only the decade version of
Yes, I know.
Man,
but it was
Amazon
obviously not Gackt.
Amazon right. Still sounds like Seki Tomokazu, who played Domonkashu in the Gokaiger Mobirites. So he was probably back, but I'm not sure on anybody else, to be honest.
Well, were you talking voice or suit?
Voice.
Well, I was asking about XV because Rider-Man's the one that you can see his face.
That's what I'm talking about. So obviously it wasn't Gackt this time.
Yeah, not enough makeup.
Too much cheeks.
Yeah. Regardless, Stronger is not able to stop Foundation X from getting a sample of something called...
I guess he's not that strong after all.
Something called the Solu.
We knew that when we saw his episode.
Behind this is a guy
Stronger
named
Stronger was weak against boys and thongs.
Behind this is a guy named Kanagi, who plans to use this for what else? World domination.
Of course.
After the O's title card, we get the Kogami Foundation investigating a warp in space caused by the falling of the meteors, where a Kamen Rider pops out of, and then proceeds to f***ing kill everybody.
That doesn't seem so good.
No. Kamen Rider Poseidon is kind of a dick. Meanwhile, Satanaka has picked up Hina to pick up Eiji at the airport, seems kind of roundabout, but okay.
Maybe Regardless, Hina is the only one who knows where the airport is.
That seems like O's writing.
Well, it's Sadanaka. She would have to get paid extra to navigate.
Yeah, of course. Heaven forbid she get a GPS or anything. Anyhow, Eiji has been called back to Japan by Kogami because Eiji has not just been hoboing it. He has actually been working for the Kogami Foundation investigating things regarding core metals and whatnot. But they get attacked by pseudo-yummies, and Satanaka proceeds to whip out a birth buster and start blowing them the hell away.
Well, it's nice to see that part hasn't changed.
Yes, I do remember I missed that, at least, if nothing else.
And it's very Sakamoto-ish.
Yes, it is.
Action sequencing.
Yes, it is very
much. And that
much
you have a lot of action scenes using the cast.
Yeah.
And apparently Satanaka likes to wrap her legs around whoever she's fighting.
I don't see a problem with this. Do you see a problem with this?
I guess it depends who's she's had her legs wrapped around previously.
The girls get overwhelmed when suddenly Eiji comes out of nowhere and starts beating the hell out of the pseudo yummies. Then Poseidon shows up and smacks him like a little bitch.
Which he is.
Okay, well, yeah. Now this I don't see any problems with.
Yeah. luckily, with a question mark, Date shows up, swipes the protobirth driver, transforms, and proceeds to get his ass kicked. Because that is what Kamen Rider Birth does best.
It's great that he just, like, jumps out of a bush.
It is.
Like, he was just hanging around there anyway, and like, oh, hey.
Oh, okay, now they're about to get killed.
I'm guessing the Odin card was nearby.
Actually, that does sound a lot like Date. It's like, and now it's time for my dramatic return.
So is that a gumball machine?
Gashapon.
Okay.
Capsule toy machine.
Every ball contains a prize.
Date does not fare well, so Goto shows up and transforms into the proper birth. He doesn't do well either.
Yeah, I think from now on, if we ever talk about proto-birth, we need to call it birth defect.
Well, fair.
Or afterbirth? Can we call him afterbirth?
Well, we did that already. You
this
weren't
here. This goes to show that birth never really was up to snuff compared to O's or most other writers.
Especially Date birth.
Yeah,
it's kind of like how G3 was in Agito, except birth never got better.
Yeah, it's like Date and Goto are unquestionably, in my opinion, better characters than Eiji. They just are not anywhere near as powerful, which is unfortunate.
Maybe if Goto and Date could be double.
Yeah, oh! That would be awesome, actually. But
so which one's Philip?
Yeah, Poseidon ends up destroying...
Who's the Dom and who's the Sub?
Well, JD, if you would actually watch any of O's, that question would be answered for you very simply.
Okay.
It would be very clear.
Proto-birth driver gets destroyed, and Goto gets his ass kicked. And it turns out that Eiji and Ankh are complete dicks, because they're using them as decoys. And they see Eiji with Ankh's arm suddenly having his hand thrust into Poseidon's back. Because apparently all of the core metals that were lost in the final episode of O's are somehow inside Poseidon.
Because they went to the future.
Well, yes. This does make as much sense as the ending of O's.
Yeah, so I will give you that.
And it's more entertaining to watch their fights.
There has been plenty of timey-wimey involved with the core metals and all. What's a little more?
I guess. But Eiji proper shows up. So there's two Eijis. And he tossed the Tatabot.
As if it wasn't bad enough already.
Yeah. He transforms into Tatabot and fights better than he ever has before. Yay, Sakamoto.
Who knew that all O's needed was Koichi Sakamoto?
That's all everything needs.
I know.
This is true. Regardless, Eiji is able to
fight. Plus, he's an archaeologist. They have to take a level. They have to take some ass-kicking classes.
Eiji is somehow able to fight twice as much better as two other riders combined. And it's managed.
Well, it's birth. Their job is jobbing.
Yeah. He manages to push Poseidon off, and Ankh turns out to have just been disguising himself as Eiji, and he turns into the proper Ankh before getting bear hugged by Hina.
And that's gonna leave and being pissed off about it.
Having never seen Ankh before, that was a little jarring.
He's never done that before, so...
No, he has not.
No, I just never even seen the character, and I was like, whoa!
Yeah, his look is kind of...
Whoa!
He has two expressions. And I'm going to f***ing kill you.
I don't even think it's about that, Fort Max.
No. I was like, whoa!
I think everybody had that reaction to Ankh when they first saw him, actually. We just grew used to it. But surprisingly, Ankh is actually one of the better characters in O's.
Well, it's kind of like how Gosei Knight was one of the better characters in Gosager just because he was wanting to kill everybody else.
Well, let's not go nuts here.
And he wasn't actually a Gosager. And
as disappointing as it was by the end, it is nowhere near as bad as Gosager.
This is true.
No, I'm just saying, though.
It's actually good up to a point.
It seems to be a common theme for, okay, the character who wants to kill all the other idiots around him, that's a good character.
The best character in the show.
He's got a good idea. He needs to go with that.
Yeah, okay, but...
But he forgets about it every time you hand him a popsicle.
Evidently, speaking of popsicles, he gets a whole plate full of them from Chiyoko once they get back to the
There's nothing phallic about that whatsoever.
You should have seen the first couple episodes of O's where he was giving the popsicles hand jobs.
Hand jobs? No, it was more like blow jobs.
No, but before he was eating them with his mouth, he was just, you know, using his hand.
This is true. Anyhow, Eiji has no idea how Ankh is back. He won't tell them. Chiyoko's like, why? You know, why ask questions? Because he only died.
Again, that was her attitude towards the series, too.
This is true.
And it's Ankh. It's not like Ankh ever answers any questions anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well,
don't ask him questions.
As the birth boys are stuck in bed, and God, Goto, you have some hairy ass legs.
Ass legs?
What's an ass leg?
Hairy ass legs.
Ass legs?
Okay, moving on. Apparently, the proto-birth driver can't be fixed. Good job, Date.
They ran out of the anniversary's over. They don't need the Rider 2 stand-in anymore.
Of course, this is not entirely accurate considering that both births are in Movie Wars Tyson. Not Movie Wars Tyson, that's repetitive.
Well, they probably built a new...
Superhero proto- Tyson. God
they probably
dang.
Built a new birth defect driver.
Otsuke probably fixed it.
Anyhow, The pseudo-yummies burst into the restaurant. And Chiyoko does actually say one cool thing. Is like, fight as hard as you need to. It's fine. And so they entirely destroy the entire restaurant.
Okay, we don't ever need to use this set ever again.
Yeah.
Have fun.
One thing I do like about...
Burn it to f***ing hell.
Here is one thing that scene needed.
Yeah, well...
Someone smashing Ankh's popsicles.
No, see, you notice the entire time of the fight, Ankh does whatever he can to protect the popsicles. That's all it focuses around.
Unfortunate euphemism?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. It's Ankh. Of course it's an unfortunate euphemism.
Or fortunate euphemism.
No, it's Ankh. It's the O's. Anyhow, somehow they get out into a random standard stock Toei set where Poseidon is there. But Eiji thinks that he is not actually evil. So he tries to get through to him. He lands on his head when he is blown back, which looked really painful.
It did. I'm like, man, you would never get away with that in an American show.
Wow, did he break his neck?
Please? Oh, God. That's terrible. I'm sorry. He wants to reach out to him, so he nearly gets stabbed and run through, but eventually ends up getting through to him. So as it turns out, Miharu is from 40 years in the future. He is the worst Kamen Rider of all time.
He even admits
it.
His power is water, but he is afraid of water.
Well, obviously the person who gave him his belt is just an idiot.
So he's basically Silver Bolt.
Except worse.
He's not a Fusor.
At least Silverbolt nutted up by the second episode. He's been through two Rider belts. The second one given to him by an old ass Kagami.
In a beautiful blue sequin suit.
Yeah.
And he still gets his ass kicked. So then apparently when Dr. Maki died and he got sucked into a black hole, all the core metals went 40 years into the future and got sucked into this pussy. I will give credit, though, when he says, I'm a Kamen Rider powered by water and I'm afraid of water, Ankh just bursts out laughing, yes. Which is, again, yes. Why he is the best character in the show.
Like, oh, man, you suck.
Well, and here's the thing, too. Just that
when
one
stuff
little...
like that happens, this is how Ankh reacts. He reacts how the audience would.
And see, just for that one little bit, this is written better than a lot of O's the series was.
Yeah, because you're sitting there and you're like, what the f***? Are you serious? And then Ankh just bursts out laughing, and it is the best reaction ever.
Yeah.
Ankh's
the only one who realizes the absurdity of the entire situation going on.
He's the only one who does. But they wait until night when Poseidon takes Miharu back over, somehow.
Probably
and
when
then,
Miharu went to sleep.
Hold him at bay with Sagozo to rip out the new future core metals. This doesn't do much good, though, because the core metals end up turning sentient, and they become their own rider.
I hate when that happens.
That's kind of what core what well.
That's kind of what core metals.
That's kind of what core metals do.
This is what Goto was saying at the beginning of the movie. He's like, "Why the hell would you make this? You know what this is going to create, right?" And Kobakami's like, "Well, you know, too late for that."
Yeah. Well. Oh, sorry.
Well, I ran out of cake batter that week.
So I needed to create a new deadly super weapon that's going to create evil monsters. Sorry about that. Here's your driver back. Go fix it for me.
We might not have thought it very through, you know. It's sorry.
Kogami is way too insane to have that much money.
Well, Kogami's thing, too, was, okay, I need to create the stuff to stop something like this from happening. Oh, wait.
Wait, I created this from app.
Also,
AG's iPhone sucks. He has no apps on it.
Yeah.
Well, it's AG. That.
Well, there's no underpants app yet.
Come on.
Interesting.
As it turns out, also, Hina bought him a new pair of underpants because he left this tent pole flag elsewhere.
Wait,
unfortunate
what?
Euphemism.
It's aging his underpants. Of course, it's an unfortunate euphemism.
And really, you know, Hina buying him underwear is not, like, creepy and inappropriate at all.
No.
They have a vending machine for that, I'm sure.
Especially, like, the piles of underwear she bought for him.
Her case, it is, like, so... It's been so obvious that she just wants him to f*** her brains out, but he is so oblivious to that sort of thing that...
Well, you know, Ankh is prettier than her.
She snapped his neck in a second.
Risk of that, yeah, because I think what I figured out is that while Hina does have that absurd strength, she has no control over it.
Never let her top.
Ugh.
No. Wow.
Broken pelvises. This is why she...
That's by Snoo Snoo.
Anyway, intro quote.
AG gives his underwear to Miharu.
Again, nothing creepier.
Grandfather's last words apparently were the reason why he...
Grandfather said this.
Grandfather told me that you might die, so always have on clean underwear.
No.
A man who will rule the world must walk
the line.
What he specifically said was, you never know when you might die, so make sure you always have clean underwear, which Miharu interprets the same way JD did, that, okay, you're going to die tomorrow, so make sure you're wearing clean underwear. But AG explains that's not really what it's supposed to mean. You don't know when you're going to die, so you better be prepared to live tomorrow instead.
Right.
And that's because I'm a pessimist.
Well, yeah, and I think, I interpreted it the same way you did, and the same way they had Miharu interpret it. You know, I think that's the natural way to look at that statement.
I don't think they ever really explained it like that in the series, so it makes it seem moderately less...
They never explained it, period.
It actually
seemed moderately less, you know, just kind of outlandish, because it was really just a silly thing in the series. It's still a silly thing here, but...
But they explain tried. Why.
They tried. That was more than O's did.
We'll go into more on that at the end, but...
So moving on, they go to face off with Poseidon and his cannon fodder. And they beat the shit out of it until AG transforms and then jumps into the ocean, where Shouta actually gets its theme when it transforms for the first time ever.
Well, for like 5 seconds.
Yeah, but it was still.
They basically used it as a substitute for the belt sound.
Again, it was more than O's did.
Well, and the Shouta theme was pretty good anyway.
It's all right.
I liked it.
As when AJ gets his ass kicked and tossed out of the water, though, the birth team shows up as the Satanaka.
They mentioned that they're hopped up on painkillers.
He's like, don't tell
me.
But, you know, again, goes to show, you know, O's did have good characters. This is, you know, a pretty cool thing to do. You can't transform. F*** it. I'm just going to ride up on some damn jet skis and try to run them down.
Well, I mean, that's the kind of thing that would occur to you when you're, you know, on painkillers.
When you're on drugs. Right. Of course, Satanaka opens up a can of whip-ass, as does Ankh. Well, finally, Miharu nuts up, transforms into Aqua on his jet ski.
That's a very retro-looking future rider suit he's got going, too.
Yeah, it's definitely – I mean, it's definitely supposed to be modeled after – I mean, the
I mean,
belt –
his transformation even works the same way as Rider 1's.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like Rider 1 –
specifically, it works more like – it works like Rider 1 in the first 13 episodes.
It's supposed to be like Rider 1 if he was if he was powered by water instead of wind. I get the reference.
Yeah.
It's just Miharu is a pussy. But regardless.
Well, it's like if first was in Decade, if they had a Decade version of that, that's what he would have been.
Probably.
He would have been Miharu.
Yeah.
Hell, it's probably where they got it.
So they fight Poseidon and end up destroying it once and for all. And then Aqua does the best jump on a jet ski I've ever seen to a random portal in time that it suddenly cropped up for no particular reason.
It's probably just the same reason that it opened.
Because O's.
Yeah, there you go.
Then Ankh disappears, because it turns out that AG's been carrying around the broken core metals the entire time. The Ankh that they saw was apparently the Ankh from the future after he had already been revived.
And who didn't see that coming from the first 5 minutes?
Which I will actually give some credit, because they didn't do some, you know, stupid explanation of how he is back. They don't explain it just because they have to have him in the movie, but they don't make it entirely as bad as it could have been.
And even earlier in the movie, you see AG fondling the medals.
Yeah, because one of the only good things about the ending of O's is the fact that they actually killed Ankh.
Spoiler warning.
Yeah,
like JD's watching it.
Well, and like I couldn't have figured it out from the movie anyway.
And
I mean,
yeah, make sure not to talk
about
Double.
It also spoiled one of the good parts of Double too.
No, I don't think we are spoiling any of Double because JD.
No, I mean the movie did that by itself.
Oh well, you could see that coming also.
Yeah.
Anyway. No happy ending, though, as there's suddenly an explosion behind them, and it's Foundation X.
And AG can't hold all these core metals.
Yeah, but don't worry. Kanagi's only interested in three of them, the ones from Poseidon. So he scoops them up and takes his leave. Then we cut to one of the best parts of the movie, Futo.
Yes.
Yay, Futo.
Jotaro suddenly gets nearly sideswiped by some guys in white lab coats, so he runs them down. It's like he doesn't even realize it's Foundation X at first. He just wants to start a damn fight.
Well, yep, that's our Shotaro.
Yeah. And he's like, you know, what the hell, man? Come at me. And then he says, oh, it's Foundation X. Goody. Hey, Philip. We need to transform. He's like, and Philip's like,
yeah,
nah,
he whips out the double driver.
I'm eating up soup recipe.
It's Heaven's Tornado all over again.
It's awesome.
That's my first thought. It's actually a good thing y'all watched that a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so Shotaro's like, oh, fine, whatever. And he puts the double driver away and takes out the lost driver instead. And so apparently he's carrying two drivers on him all the time.
Yeah.
I would.
When your partner's Philip, I definitely would.
Yeah.
The last time he got his ass beat because he got stranded – because Philip was busy looking at pizza recipes, you know.
It's like I got Tupac. I got this.
Yeah. And then he's like, oh, crap, if I only would have had the Lost Driver, I could have been fine. But no.
So we get the best background music ever as Kamen Rider Joker and his theme song reappears.
And I think, besides the obvious, like, fan service aspect of this, I think Sakamoto just really likes directing action sequences for Joker. Because Joker fights so much differently than Double does.
Yeah, it's Shotaro when he's like, he just, you know, does not give a and it's just him. He doesn't have Philip in his ear.
Joker basically fights like a Showa writer.
Obviously.
Well, and that's on purpose, too, because Ren Kiriyama's, childhood writer was black.
Yeah, his favorite writer is black.
And Ein, even a lot of Double had a lot of design influences of Showa, including the little references to Ein, the callback to the scar lines from the Kamen Rider manga.
And it's like, you know, his main power is Cyclone Joker. He's powered by wind, so yeah.
Yeah.
Another one of the good parts of this fight was Joker versus the two Beetle yummies.
Yes.
He takes care of
a Mantis yummy, so that was...
Yeah.
He takes care of both of them in 3 minutes. It would have taken O's 3 episodes for those guys again.
Well, and we have another example of that happening again later on, too.
Remember, they're revived monsters. They're always weaker.
Regardless, the Foundation X guys lose the Soryu when Shotaro kicks a masquerade into them.
Isn't that great?
No, he's like, oh, they're getting away. Let me throw one of your mooks at you.
And it works.
Yeah. Meanwhile,
down,
Airport
the
X,
container breaks open and the gray goo escapes.
The T-1000 escapes. And meanwhile, at Airport X, which is not conspicuously named at all.
No, of course not.
Foundation X guys get confronted by the Seven Riders, who suddenly get attacked by strobe lights. We'll get back to that later.
You know, it was the 70s that happens.
Yeah. Right. We're back to Shotaro kicking ass and taking names, and he does a rider punch on the grasshopper yummy and a proper rider kick on the beetle yummy.
And they put more effect on the rider punch and rider kick than the last time they were shown, didn't they?
In episode 49?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they kind of got this flame deal, fireball effect.
Yeah, it is so funny. I know they're revived monsters and everything, but just how easily Shotaro dispatches them. Like, they're because, like, the beetle yummies were f***ing tough, too. The first one took, you know, both birth and O's, and the second one took, you know, an overcharged birth, breast cannon.
You say that like, birth, like, being taken by birth is a...
Well, no, but he was kicking O's his ass, too, and the breast cannon was usually displayed as pretty powerful. It just took forever to charge up, so he hardly ever got to use it fully.
What you're overlooking here is that, okay, this is Kamen Rider Joker, and Sakamoto is directing the action.
Yeah. Considering
Joker's going to be the best, strongest rider ever anytime Sakamoto's handling it.
Yeah, in a way, Joker is sort of his rider, because I know he did some work on Double the Series before that, but that was, Forever was like his first really big, big rider thing. So...
And it was a success. I mean,
an incredible success.
I mean, and like Ken is saying, he developed Joker's movement style, fights. Yeah.
It was probably entirely not even just fan wink, just Sakamoto wink.
Well, yeah, that's why I've said, though, you know, it's not, I'm sure there's a fan service aspect to it, but Sakamoto
Joker, Sakamoto didn't have a style of fight to maintain. So it was a blank slate for him.
Yeah. And the way he fights makes sense because Shotaro is more of a brawler, so of course he's going to fight like a Showa rider. That's how they all fight. Mm-hmm. So Forza title card, and we are at Amanogawa High after Shotaro finds the empty canister. They are having a culture festival, and after Gintaro has a creepy encounter with Osugi, which is
what encounter with Osugi is not creepy.
Interrupted me, which is any encounter with Osugi.
Thank you.
There we go.
But the fact that three of us had to bring that in.
Yeah, well, You said it right when I was back. Right, you interrupted me.
Anyhow. It's superhero time. That's what they f***ing do here.
Yeah.
But see, Paladin, you're learning. You talked right over Ken, just like a pro.
Fort Max is rubbing off on everybody. And yeah, the Kamen Rider Club is having a display to try and educate people on the presence of the original seven Kamen Riders.
Who they are all named after.
Coincidentally, they are all using...
I'm sure they have no idea of that, though.
Of course not. Well, everybody except Gintaro, but...
Yeah,
there's a reason that, besides being the seventh member of the club, that they have him being stronger in this movie. But I'll get to that in a second. Jake, however, is not there to be X because he is goofing off because he thinks this is bullshit. You know, everybody, you know, they should be out there getting girlfriends. Jake, you're not fooling anybody.
Except maybe himself.
They walk outside to find a girl falling from the sky.
Very slowly.
Everybody else stands around like idiots. Gintaro thinks, oh, I want a piece of this tail. And he catches her.
Not sure that's what he thinks, but
yeah,
okay.
I'm not entirely... yeah.
Well, considering what he shouts...
Girlfriend!
Big guard. Yes!
It's girlfriend time!
Well, I'm sure at some point everybody wishes for a girlfriend to just fall on them out of the sky.
That was exactly what he was thinking at that point in time.
I'm sure like Ken spends hours like outside. Like... What? Why can't it be my turn?
Right. Anyhow, she's mute and apparently a student from Tsubaraboshi. Coincidentally, the school that Ryusei comes from, who is not here yet.
Huh.
I knew that uniform looked familiar.
Yeah. But they get attacked by Dustards, who chase them through the entire school until Gintaro transforms. Instead, it's time to do this one-on-one, and despite the fact there are like a dozen of them.
Yeah, well...
Yeah, he transforms, fights them, and then all of a sudden, the girl, Nadeshiko... I hate Japanese names sometimes...
I'm sure they hate you too.
Yes, yeah. I totally agree with that. Yes.
See, JD knows my pain.
No, he's agreeing. He's agreeing that they hate you back.
Well, that too.
She whips out a driver and transforms into a rider,
and fights really creepily.
Very creepily. Very, very creepily. But Gintaro.
At the same time, I hope the suit actor really was a girl.
So do I.
Oh, did you get a little excited by the fight sequence then?
No, well? I feel bad for the other stunties that she's butt bumping and
yeah, you know. Sure.
And the incredibly girly fight sequence and then suddenly out of nowhere just snapping a neck.
Oh, God.
Yes.
Well, they're not human, right? Right?
Right? Probably not.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Yeah, but Gintaro really seems into it.
Yeah, if there be a cons, it doesn't count.
Really, really into it. Considering that he keeps kicking after that one Dustard just falls. Yeah. Let's really hope that other suit there is a girl. They go outside, of course, because you always have to go outside in a rider fight. When will they learn from GoBuster's example?
I know, where it's like you randomly throw someone out into a hallway and suddenly you're outside in, like, a different part of town.
Yeah.
No, this is just... got nothing on Metal Heroes.
No, see, all of Amanagawa High just connects to the entire town.
Right.
But they get assaulted by Virgo. And this is the only time Forze himself has actually fought Virgo.
To date, anyway.
I think this would have been Virgo's first appearance, too.
Yeah, I think so. This sounds about right for a movie to do that. Well, first appearance, and actually, I think she appeared like in episode 1 or 2, just like Leo in the background.
Maybe.
I think. Either way, they do. Forze and Nadeshiko do a double rider punch, double dot rider rocket punch, and. somehow are able to push her back, because apparently that's enough to fight her off. Okay.
This time.
Considering she made Ryu say kind of her bitch.
Well, it's not it's Nodesco's first appearance.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
She's 30% stronger.
So should Virgo be, then.
Virgo Shut was up. In the background in episode one, remember?
Oh, right, right, okay. I guess that negates that. Or whatever. Anyhow, Gintaro is very, very flustered around her. And, well, everybody except Miyu seems very clueless on this. Well, Miyu and Yuki, who is either very aware of Gintaro's love at first sight or has a crush on Nodesco herself. I'm not sure which it is.
Well, the way she was reacting to Tomoko in the early episodes, I'm going to go with the former.
Yeah. This is true.
Well, granted, Tomoko was just being very, very creepy about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just Tomoko.
And Shun takes this opportunity to try and hit on Miyu, and she's like, eh.
And get shot down for, what, the 50th time?
Only? The 50th
well,
time?
Well, probably this week.
Yeah.
Only? So, yeah, Nodesco drags Gintaro off, and he tries getting through to her, because all she can ever do, which he never really seems to catch on just yet, is that all she does is repeat what he says, and does what he does.
So, of course, they take her out, and he makes a very bad mistake in not getting Dippin' Dots from the stand.
What?
The stand that they get the food from has Dippin' Dots.
Is it on the thing?
It's on the menu.
You stopped and read the menu?
Yeah. It has the Dippin' Dots logo.
Of course he did. He's Fort Max.
Okay, so apparently what we learned this week is that they have Dippin' Dots in Japan. Moving on. He takes a very big mistake. He's taking her on top of a building, which she nearly walks off of.
Well,
and decides, better idea would be to take her into space.
Oh, yeah, that'll end well.
Hey, that's an awesome first date thing. You know, if I could take a girl into space...
Well, yeah, I could take it.
I mean,
shit.
You know, heck yeah, you know, that's the way to go.
But then he does basically just tell her, "Let's get high."
Yeah. He takes off her. She takes off her helmet on the moon's surface. Hey, at first she doesn't react to it. So he's like, "Oh yeah, you know, so I can kiss you. I got to wait a f-ing second."
Wait a minute.
We did not get a magic school bus moment.
Well, there's an alternate reality where, like, Gintaro did take the helmet off. And that just made the rest of the series suck.
Okay, Shun, guess you gotta put the driver
well,
on.
Look, his head would just turn to ice and he'd be fine, just have a little cold. Magic school bus isn't going to lie, is it?
Right. No, of course
right.
not.
So, meanwhile, at Airport X... Gamal is presenting Foundation X with a nice supply of Zodiart switches. But Kanagi has a problem with the fact that apparently one of Gamal's guys had gone after the Solyu, which is, you know, as we find out in a second, Nodesco. And he's like, you know, I figured I would, you know, capture it for you, return it to you. Kanagi's like, you know, I'd appreciate it if you didn't do anything I might misinterpret. Considering the fact that, you know, Gamal would probably just, you know, steal her and use her power for himself.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think Gamal would particularly care about it.
No, he would not.
Because
no.
It's not a Zodiart.
But this is a nice companion piece to that scene a few weeks ago in Forza
yeah.
when the Foundation X guys showed up and Tatsugami just laid into them.
Yeah.
Because Tatsugami then shows up as Leo and just stands there and intimidates everybody so Gamal can just walk the f*** off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wonder how your people would stand up to my Zodiart.
Like,
and yeah, and at that moment it's like, man, Gamal has got some balls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Standing up,
Leo's holding them.
Every night, probably.
Yeah.
Oh, right, I forgot about Leo juggling his nuts.
Gently cupping.
Juggling and cracking.
Yep.
Yeah, well.
So anyway.
What does she love you more than me?
And
supposed to love me!
Tatsugami's got some issues. But up on space, apparently Kingo somehow knows exactly what Nadeshiko is. I guess maybe his father's notes? I don't know, but...
Yeah, let's go with that.
I don't know.
Well, remember, they were contacted.
Oh, yeah.
Because...
But somehow, Kingo had a container to put her in.
Yeah. That's convenient. I wonder how he got that. But
it's okay, because she's not really alive anyway.
Yeah, she's not alive. She's not sentient. She just copies everything that people do. So Gintar runs off crying. He says there are only two times a man should cry: when he has his wallet stolen and when a chick dumps you.
You know, I can get behind this.
Yeah, I'm there.
Actually, that does sound pretty accurate. But when a girl's just, you know, some slime, which, you know, man, Tomoko does not have any sympathy at all.
She's of course not. It's Tomoko.
She has that water candy she's playing with the entire time. And it's like, geez, that is kind
the
of...
goo.
That's kind of really cold.
Or what? Does this look like your girlfriend? I'm sorry, am I reminding you of your girlfriend? Aw.
Cute. She's like, you know what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if she's slime or a human.
Oh, he runs off.
Yeah, apparently Kingo is turning Nadeshiko over to Foundation X. Evidently, he has not gotten the memo yet.
Well, he doesn't know it's Foundation X.
Yeah,
he was told it was a university research project.
I know. But he's
Which
just not,
is
he,
so plausible.
Yeah.
He's not paranoid enough. He needs to be more paranoid.
I can't believe that Japanese researchers at a university would create the T-1000.
This is true.
Yeah.
Anyhow, Gintaro runs up and snatches it away because he believes that she is actually sentient and that he could be friends with her more.
Or befriend her in the other way.
Bow-chicka-bow-wow.
Dude. She's a shapeshifter, man.
Oh, dude.
Think of the possibilities.
Yeah. Gintaro probably was as he was running up there.
This is going to be awesome!
but Nadeshiko pops out of the canister, and it turns out she can now speak normally. She has evolved, or something or another.
So she's butterfree now?
What's that?
She's a butterfree now?
Yes. She's much more useful.
Well, that also means she's going to die soon.
Because she's popped out of her metapod, you know.
Anyway, she runs up and hugs Gintaro, and apparently, you know, she seems to be alive. But that doesn't matter. Foundation X ends up going off to kick everybody's asses and steal her away. So they drive off, and Gintaro hops into the moving vehicle. Then he gets his ass beat and tossed out of the moving vehicle. Which, you know, it's impressive he didn't like break his head or anything. A lot of that.
Well,
in this movie.
I mean, if AG didn't
he has
break
that pompadour
his...
protecting
yeah,
him.
Yeah, he has more of an excuse than AG. Kingo rides up on the Masigler and is like, you know what? I f***ed up. Here's your bike.
Sorry about that.
Well, you know, at least Kingo has the balls to admit it.
Dude, I screwed up your sweet shape shifting pussy.
He's a scientist.
This is true.
No, Kengo's dad was a scientist.
Well, Kengo's sort of a scientist.
No, he's not.
He's a wannabe.
He's a wannabe scientist. Forze takes off after the truck, but the random black dude jumps out and transforms into a giant space dragon.
Yeah, that was one of JD's comments to me after he watched this. He's like, okay, the one thing I've learned from Mega Man X, apparently there's black people in Japan.
That was the most amazing revelation of the whole film.
As you can tell,
you have, well, you don't know about Wacker Wilson, do you?
Oh, this guy actually kind of favors Wacker Wilson.
What? No, apparently not.
Oh, you haven't heard about Wacker Wilson on the boardwalk?
Apparently not.
I guess you haven't got to Dino Thunder yet, have you?
No.
Go
it's the episode where the Dino Thunder Rangers watch a dubbed episode of Abba Ranger.
All you have to do, go to Netflix, look up Dino Thunder, look up Lost in Translation, hit
Lost
play.
And found
Lost
in Found in Translation.
Lost and Found in Translation.
Okay.
And come back 30 minutes later.
Okay.
about 20 minutes later, actually.
Yeah. The truck gets stopped by the Powerdizer, just slightly off screen.
Because they don't have quite as much budget for that as they thought.
No, they use the budget for other things later.
Boy, do they.
Yes, they do. And he decides the best way to stop it is to try blowing it up with Nadishko inside.
Yeah.
Is not very smart, but luckily she does not die.
She's the T-1000. She'll live.
This is true. I guess he saw Terminator. Anyway, she and the Foundation X guys transform into masquerade dopants, so she transforms herself. Even though she really doesn't really have to go through all that trouble, she could just, you know, like, shapeshift into a Kamen Rider, but hey, it's a Kamen Rider. Why not?
It's a f***ing movie and they're selling a Figuard.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yep. So they go to fight the space dragon together and end up kicking it into the ground pretty successfully. They don't
nice.
Kill it, though. You always gotta confirm the damn kill. God.
Yeah.
Damn. Kids these days. Okay, but she wants to shake hands with him, and he finally starts to do that until it gets interrupted by a
Foundation X guy sucking her in.
Yeah.
With his mouth.
Damn it, Fort Max. Did you have to go there?
Yes. He really did.
Anyway, he sucks her up.
He definitely slurped away at her.
Sorry, Gintaro.
Sloppy seconds for Forze.
Puts some words right out of my mouth. So he sticks something into her and sucks away all
the Oh. Sucks her up and then sticks something in.
No lube. So she dies. She dies and transforms into a switch. Kanagi takes great glee in informing him, and you can tell this guy is like a total Showa villain. He's like, all she is now is pure energy. In other words, she's dead. Like, this guy has the best cheese.
He didn't even have the decency to tie her to, like, a railroad tie.
no. If it was a Showa villain, he would have tied her up to a cross.
Ah.
Well, actually, they have...
Shut up, Fort Max.
That was awesome.
So, anyway.
Anyhow, Gintaro is obviously heartbroken and in a blind rage, which does not serve him well as he gets his ass kicked. So they leave the space dragon behind to kill him while Kanagi and the chick take off. Luckily, Kengo grows a pair of balls, and he attacks the space dragon with the Massigler. As does Shun with the Powerdizer, the girls with the food droids,
and
Jake
just stands around and gets shot.
Jake is
That's
useless.
Jake, all right.
Jake is useless, so all he can do is offer him
he
a
He is not displaying his power of running away.
The part of Yellow 4 will be played by Jake.
He hasn't taught it to him yet.
Okay, but regardless, the Kamen Rider Club stands up for Gintaro until he can stand up himself. And he transforms with a pretty cool bit of all of them doing the Uchiha. Yes.
And the countdown.
Yes, that too. So Gintaro goes off to open a can of whoop-ass with the fire switch. And even still, the limit break does not kill the space dragon until he finds another switch just lying on the ground. Apparently, it was the last of Nadishko's power, where she created a super rocket switch, which transforms him into the Safety Orange Rocket States.
That's my favorite Forze form.
It is. You know, when I first saw it, I thought it was just really overly gaudy, and it is. But it does look pretty
You're
cool.
You're just stupid, Ken, that's all.
You can't help it. It's okay.
It's okay, Ken. You were just born dumber than me.
You just have no taste.
Oh, yeah.
It's okay.
No,
Enjoying
no,
the
I
show
really...
after listening to it.
Well, anyway, I...
Never live that down.
Seeing it in motion... so did you. Well,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're one to talk.
Damn it, I was trying to divert attention. Shit, I should have just been quiet.
All it was draw attention in.
Yeah, JD, that's the rule of superhero time. I should have just stayed quiet.
I should have stayed quiet. I could have hid, but no.
I should have
just... quote.
Yeah.
Too long.
Too long.
I should have just stayed quiet. So anyway, Safety Orange Forze ends up destroying the space dragon. So yes, Gintara totally just killed a dude.
Yeah, awesome. I noticed that too.
I don't think Virgo's there to bring him back into the atmosphere.
Nope.
Well, and it wasn't one of her dudes anyway, so it's not like she cares.
Yeah. Well,
actually, Gamma would have been like, screw that guy.
He would have watched and laughed like, hey, go Forze.
Actually, he probably was.
That means I don't have to listen to him anymore. That means I don't have to listen to him anymore, and that means that I don't owe him anything.
Anyway, Gintaro's not too broken up about his first homicide, you know, murdering pure rage.
Yeah.
He's just, you know, looking at this giant phallic thing his dead girlfriend gave him.
I don't think this is the shape-shifting Gintaro had in mind.
No, it was a giant phallic thing that his girlfriend left behind. That she probably had in her purse.
Oh, you know, the S1 rocket switch does come with batteries.
She was not pure after all.
What's that buzzing sound?
But there, his angst is short-lived, though, as AG suddenly rides up. Gintara recognizes him, in spite of never having seen him untransformed.
Well, it's that rider thing. They can see through each other's suits or something.
Yes, and this also somehow implies that...
Look, it's a dude acting like a hobo.
Oh, well, I guess that would be a tip-off.
Yeah, yeah.
And this also sort of cements that wonderful Shogun is canon to both series somehow. How the fuck does that work?
Well, I would say it's more like...
It's not canon to the O show at all.
Just squint.
I would just... go with a similar event happen in each show's proper continuity.
Yeah.
That was an identical thing to
Carter Grayson shows up and tells him that Tommy Oliver needs your help.
Yes. That's exactly what happened.
So we move on to the proper Megamax portion of the movie wars, where Gintaro and AG ride up to find Shotaro and Philip in a parking deck. Apparently Philip found that soup recipe, after all.
Oh, good.
After we are done kicking ass, we can all have soup.
And then we get the best exchange ever.
Well, no, see, because Philip has already... Philip learned the soup recipe, so he's not interested in doing anything with it anymore. He knows it now.
Yeah.
And he looks so, like, purposely bored through this entire thing. He's just thinking, I want to go home and make that soup.
He already learned about it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he wouldn't be having any interest in it anymore. Okay. So, yeah. He found
this interesting thing called haggis.
God.
Shotaro's just like, oh, God.
Well, that would cue a Shotaro wild take because he would know what haggis is.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, it would be like when the guy threw the brick through the window in the Heaven's Tornado episode.
So we have Shotaro meet Gintaro. And which I love that Philip just telegraphs it. He's like, oh, well, you two are kind of similar, aren't you? And he's like, I'm nothing like this pompadour buffoon. And he's just like, I want to beat the people that made me cry,
that made his friends cry.
Friends cry. And he's in Shotaro all of a sudden he's like, my boy, come here.
This is my bro.
Yes.
Well, yeah. And when Gintaro said earlier too that there's only two times a man should cry, that was a total Shotaro moment.
Yeah. Really was.
Yeah.
So they are instant bros. Then Philip gives a exposition dump where we get brief clips from Forever and Kamen Rider Eternal to explain the Foundation X and how they have created Gaia memories and are probably things. Behind the Zodiac switches and medals in some way or another.
Well,
bullshit.
They're probably still.
What's this gloss over that?
I'm sure they're secretly.
Oh, the series did too.
But yeah, let's just gloss over that. Thank you very much, Kobayashi.
It's probably for the best.
Probably. That way we don't have that attached double too heavily. Yeah. But the...
Well, I'm sure if they had used it, they would have just screwed it up.
Yeah. More Foundation X guys show up. And Shotaro's like, you know, he could go on ahead and take out the big guy. Go stand behind and handle this. And AG's like, why? It's like, remember what you said when we first met?
Which now also awesome. Canonizes that.
Yeah. Well, there wasn't any doubt of that, at least.
Well, not
the
for
problem
the double
is
side
it's
of...
core.
No, that wasn't core. That was
it's
double
forever.
Oh,
yeah.
They did not reference core at all in this movie.
Yeah, that's good.
yeah.
But no, I mean there was no good. Question that there was no question that was in canon for double, but how it fit into O's was always.
Well, it fits in somehow. Just squint, just like everything else in O's.
Well, and like I said with the other thing before, a similar event obviously happened in proper O's continuity.
Yeah, and. I'm just gonna like pretend that.
Well, the best part about the core section, of course, was Ankh and interacts with Shotaro.
The spirit of that, when they right. all transform, Gintaro does his it's space time and nearly hits double in the head.
Well, no, it startles,
like,
just startles him.
Just startles
yeah.
him.
Yeah. They're like, what yeah, the and, hell, dude?
It's like, what
it's
the
like,
hell?
It's like me, it's space, you know?
Oh. Okay, cool. Now, Shotaro would be so proud if he knew that Gintaro makes up attack names, too.
This is like the opposite of what happened in Core when Shotaro met Ankh.
Yeah. He's like, oh my god, you freak of nature! And then with Gintaro, it's like, oh yeah, cool.
Yeah.
I like this guy! So,
this guy's cool. All the other people you bring me suck, but this guy's cool.
Yeah. Zodiacs that Forze fought at the beginning of the series, and you know he had a tough time with each of them. So Double decides to take all of them on him by himself. Complete with the best theme song ever.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Double cycles through his three main-ish forms.
They were playing the Flash Gordon theme.
Shut up, Formax.
Flash.
Savior of the universe.
I mean, Fort Max has a point there, but, you know, as far as Kamen Rider themes go.
Yeah, this is what I meant. Okay. So, Shotaro beats the shit out of three of the four Zodiarts.
Now, here's what I love about this whole part, though, because Double transforms and then just leaves Philip in the parking garage.
Oh, well, yeah, with all the explosions and the attacking helicopters. Well, yeah. Luckily, you know, of course, you know, Forze and O's took care of those, but still.
Well, but still, it's like, Philip is asleep in a parking garage. Well, all the other stuff is going on.
Well, they turn into Extreme later, so obviously he's fine.
Yeah. I just pretend that the Extreme memory picked him up at some point.
Well, I mean, it had to have. But yeah, Forze and O's prove that, okay, motorcycles are better combat vehicles than military helicopters.
Well, Kamen Rider motorcycles are.
Yeah. What? It's just like that time Cole destroyed Serpentera with his motorcycle that God gave him.
It's also like that one episode of Voyager.
I think
it's not unlike what happened in Agito either with Agito's motorcycle.
Okay, so Forze and O's try to cut off Kanagi, but he has an entire army to stop them. But hey, that's no problem for two Kamen Riders that can have a billion weapons pop out of them.
That was one of my complaints with the editing on this a little bit, because they CG'd this army of like 1,000 or 2,000, you know, enemies, and then they get into the fight sequence and there's like maybe 50.
Well, they only have so many costumes.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. It's like they CG in this massive army, and then there's like 50 guys standing there.
Well, it's still a lot of guys, though.
It's still a lot of guys. I'm not saying it's not. But...
I mean, JD, think back to like season one of Power Rangers, how you'd only ever see like four Putty Patrollers on the screen at any one time together.
This is a large step up from that.
True. True.
And, you know, that was because they also had to have some of the Ranger suit actors in the putty costumes.
It's straight off. Yeah. I know. I get it. I just thought it was funny.
But we get a very, very cool fight with Oz cycling through all of his main combos. And as you can see, JD, Oz has way too many forms.
Yeah. No, really?
Because this is not even all of them. There's two missing.
Yeah, no, yeah, it was like, holy crap.
Well, the movie exclusive one doesn't count.
Yeah, was, but sometimes still Puto Terra, so.
It was like, hit somebody, chain.
And he's better off without Puto Terra anyway.
Yeah, hit, I actually am glad they left Puto Terra out, because, you know, you think that's his ultimate form. Of course they're going to use it. But, they, you know, they made a point in the series that Puto Terra is not a good thing. So I'm
and then
kind
they
of
made
blessed.
A point of making up a new ultimate form for him.
Yes, we'll get to that in a moment. After Forze and Oz annihilate the army, Forze finds a briefcase full of strange switches and metals.
This is part I hated.
I love it, but I'll get to why in a second.
It's so wanky.
But Oz gets confronted by the greed and the Sonozaki Zodiarts all of a sudden, which are apparently been recreated by Foundation
Zodiarts?
X. Dopants. Dopants, Zodiarts is the same damn thing.
Pretty much.
Sure.
No, the Dopants are from Double. They're for their better.
No, what I mean is that they are very, very similar and easily confused.
They hurt themselves in their confusion.
Yes. Either way, the Greed and the Dopants are about to, you know, wreck their shit until Forze shows up with the switches. So they activate them, and the Seven Riders pop out of their crutches.
This was like, okay, they brought in the Seven Riders and then turned them into switches and coins.
Well, this
and
is
then
not-
that did nothing except... It's like, hey, here's more shit to buy, kids.
Well, they already had... Like,
well, that's every Kamen Rider series.
But I'm saying,
and that's not even all of the Rider switches or medals that were ever produced.
No, I'm just saying it's like, I don't mind if they do that and then write in a decent explanation for that, but when it's simply like, the bad guys literally created a way for the good guys to reactivate the Seven Riders.
Here's
it's
the
like,
thing, that's kind of what Kanagi seems to do. He turned a disco into a switch.
Well, and all the Foundation X stuff has been this. In Double O's and Forzine,
well,
that it's been the enemies have all used similar stuff to the heroes.
So what he does, he turns things into things.
So it's a consistent writing problem.
Yes.
You're saying this is something that's been written poorly for a while. Therefore, we should continue to accept the poor writing.
I mean, it's a corny thing, but it's also kind of... It feels like it's something that feels
JD,
in line with the 70s writers.
You had to be there. That's all it is, JD.
Okay, I wasn't there for it. Okay.
But the Rider medals have been out for like 2 years. It's not like they're really selling those anymore. They're just kind of using something that already existed.
Much like the Seven Legendary Riders.
And the Rider switches don't actually work how they work in the arcade game anyway. So.
Well, and the medals don't work that way either, as far as I can recall.
Yeah. So it's not really even consistent with that. It was just
basically this is the worst toy advertisement ever.
Exactly.
That was Energon.
The way I took it, it was just kind of like this corny 70s sort of thing, and I just sort of rolled with it. But that was me. It didn't really bother me that much. If only because there's enough awesome things elsewhere in the movie to kind of make up for it.
Okay, let's move this along.
Yes. So, Forze drags Oz kicking and screaming into the space shuttle. And while the Seven Riders fight the Greed and Dopants. The Kanagi transforms into a Sky Rider villain randomly. Considering that Sky Rider is not here.
Yeah,
he's not legendary enough.
His show was on later.
His show was a reboot.
Yeah.
It originally, and then they decided, no,
it's
not.
And then they decided, nah, it's not.
Never mind.
Just like Shin.
Like, we're not going to call you.
Well, with Shin, it's just that they decided
it didn't last. Shin didn't last long enough for that to happen.
With Shin, they decided, okay, this just didn't happen at all.
This is a bad idea to start with.
Yeah, that's probably for the best.
Considering how Shin ended, oh god, let's not get into that again.
Nothing about Shin is for the best.
Kanagi can now warp time and space. A lot of that in this movie.
Apparently he can clock up now?
Yeah. So he kicks for
actually, I would say he's doing hyper clock up.
Yeah, then he throws Forze out of the shuttle and, you know, he's presuming to his death, but he is caught by the power dizer. So
yeah,
Kinga reminds him.
Like Forze has options to, you know, fly or anything.
Yeah.
Or parachute.
Yeah.
Hey, it's like, hey, by the way,
or, you know, has a giant pogo stick where you could just bounce back up there.
I don't think the pogo stick will have that.
Whiplash snap his neck from that, though? Along with most other bones?
Moving on. Forze rockets back up after the space shuttle, while Oz then whips out the... Oh, yeah, by the way, I completely forgot because it's very forgettable. As he is very forgettable, Miharu randomly
comes back
to randomly give Oz some random core medals. Okay.
Not whose entirely
existence
random,
is never
yeah
explained.
Never explained.
Just neither like the rest of Oz.
Yeah, so he transitions into Super Tatoba, who can somehow keep up
super
with...
Super.
Shut up.
Super.
That's... No.
Tatoba. Super. Tatoba. Tatoba.
Super.
Super.
That last super.
Oh, and in case you didn't realize, he's super.
Thanks for asking.
My tears are just...
You know, I want to make a show called Super Tatuba, but it like it's a guy that's like a superintendent of a building, and he's called Tatuba, and that'd be great.
Super!
Our toilet is plugged! Tatuba, Tatuba, Super,
super.
Tatuba, Super.
You know, O's jokes kind of lost their luck a year ago.
He's a fix!
So, back to cool people. Extreme has shown up and finishes off the final Zodiart. Who was the chick? Who is the only one of these Foundation X guys who does not get killed brutally?
Well, they're bastards.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'm just saying.
Besides, you don't know that she didn't, like, get her neck snapped when she hit the pavement.
God.
What? I couldn't be the only one thinking that, right? Right?
I don't think Shotaro would find that manly.
Well, it's not like he did it on purpose.
Yeah, I'm just saying he would have issues with it. Anyway, back to more cool stuff. We have these seven writers fighting off the main villains of the past two series.
Each using what I can only presume is their signature moves.
Yeah.
Yep. So
I know one of these moves is something Fort Max tried to explain to us before, but we all stopped listening about 3 words.
Let's not get into that again. Also, Aqua kills off Kazali because why not?
Well, because cats are weak to water.
Yes.
High five.
But it is very cool.
And the Amazon, meanwhile, is... going after the cat.
Yeah, of course. He went against the animal. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I really liked the bit with where Rider 2 just goes up against Gamal and just kills him in one punch.
Gamal, not Gamal.
Gamal. Gamal. Gamal. Gamal. Camel.
Now, and speaking of Amazon, I like how when Fort introduces himself as the person who's going to make friends with every rider.
He does that with Shotaro, too. Yeah. That was so random.
And then Stronger's like, okay, not now.
It's like, we have business to do.
That is so great.
Save
anyway.
The introduction for later. It's kind of, you know it's bad? You're in bad shit when like the show writer tells you to save the flashy introductions for later.
Yeah. That's not a good sign.
Back up on space, Gintaro, now that he's actually onto the shuttle, uses rocket states, even though it can, you know, go in past Earth's atmosphere. Shotaro, you're sometimes, I know I defend you, but you're sometimes not very bright.
Gintaro,
Shotaro. Look, it's like Philip said.
Like two peas in a pod.
See? See? Okay, Rocket States and Super Tazoba end up...
And then we begin the final boss battle, and I patiently wait for the button sequence to start up to finish the quick time event.
Quick time event begins, as does the CGI cutscene. He throws a Kamehameha at them, and Shotaro blocks it, because AG sucks and can't.
Shotaro again?
It's Philip's fault, damn it.
Just roll with it.
He did this to me.
Okay, so what did Yusuke do?
You mean AG?
No, I was doing...
Yeah, we all know. It was very funny. Yes.
So back to
Tsukasa. I thought it was hilarious to make fun of you, but...
Okay, the spirit of Nadeshiko ends up showing up and telling him, hey, you know, absorb the cosmic energy because, you know, that's what powers you. I was like, oh, okay. So he absorbs all of Kanagi's attack, and then they do a double rider kick to kill him and blow up the shuttle that they're standing on in Earth's atmosphere.
And then stay and chat a little while.
Yeah. Go back inside it so Gintaro can make out with her.
Isn't she dead now?
She's just energy now. She doesn't have a body.
You know, it's like the Doctor Who Christmas special where she's like fading energy thing. Yeah, it's like that.
Nerd.
Hey, I got an idea. Suck my dick.
Wait. Nerds on a Toku podcast?
Yeah, I know. That was a joke. Damn.
It doesn't matter what we're talking about. This is the wrong podcast.
Pretty much.
Yeah. But anyway, day is saved. Shotaro. Actually, Shotaro.
You sure this time?
Yes. Is proud of the newbies. Even AG, I guess. It's kind of sad he's still referring to him as that, actually.
No, I think it's appropriate.
It's accurate, but still sad. That doesn't make it any less sad. Okay, but you know, the thing about this is, in the ending credits here, we get several scenes. You know, we get Shotaro and Philip, and then we get a couple of scenes for Gintaro.
Hey, who was that other guy who was involved in all the fighting?
Yeah, you noticed that, did you? AG just gets one scene. He does not say anything. He just walks off. It's like the movie stopped giving a f*** about him about 5 minutes ago.
Well, so did the series.
Yeah. As soon as they sold Super Tataba, they're like, ah, f*** it. This is Gintaro's movie.
And they're still selling. There's like three on Mandarake right now.
Yeah.
I don't think that's exactly the definition of selling.
Yeah. Dude, that's kind of sucked for Gintaro here, because he didn't ends up randomly running into the girl that Nadeshiko duplicated, the real one.
That's not awkward at all.
No.
I swear I've seen that scene before, but I don't remember where.
You know, early on, when it wasn't that she was just imitating stuff, I was really hoping that she, like, found and ate that girl to take on her appearance.
God.
Wow, that's dark. But yeah, it's kind of a bummer note to end the movie out on, but you know.
New guy.
New rider.
Yay.
Double villains, because you know, those villains would suck. You have to kill something awesome.
I mean, look at the preponderance of masquerade dopants versus the pseudo yummies or dustards.
Yeah.
Well, because that's so easy, it's basically just a mask and a suit.
This does answer a question we had a long time ago, which is, using masquerade, does that generate the suit they used to wear, or is it just the mask on the head? We know it's just the mask, which is kind of disappointing, actually.
Yeah, speaking of killing dudes, as
well, actually, how do we know they're not wearing the suit under the lab coats?
Because then they wouldn't have the lab coats anymore.
And it would look frumpy.
Yeah.
Right. It wouldn't be this nicely pressed white suit anymore. It would be, you know, the normal dark suit, or it would be all baggy and wrinkled over the dark suit.
Yeah, speaking of killing dudes, apparently Ryusei doesn't memory break these guys, because those guys are dead.
Well, you know, he doesn't have the gear to do a memory break. I think you actually need Gaia memory stuff to do that.
You have to be, you know, doubler.
Excel.
Excel or Eternal.
No, but I mean, I think you need Gaia memory based powers to be able to break
a Gaia memory. Yeah. So yeah, death count's pretty
there
high.
There was a surprising amount of, you know, killing dudes in this movie.
By the heroes, no less. That's why it was surprising.
It
really was a show of tribute in that respect.
Yeah.
Just none of them turned into bubbles.
Right. And I gotta say, the presence of the Seven Riders here was a lot better than in, you know, like...
a movie
O's
that was supposed
Deno.
To be celebrating them?
Well, yeah, O's and Deno.
Yeah.
Or any of the previous
let's go
movie
common,
wars.
Or, no, let's go, All
anything to do with Decade?
Yeah.
The Decade use of them wasn't bad.
It wasn't good either.
Of course not, it was Decade.
Super!
It is pretty much...
squeak, squeak, squeak. Eat the whole fix now!
As a total product, it's probably the best movie wars, although...
Yeah, I would
say... That doesn't say much.
Yeah. Well, you know... Begin
the first
is
movie
still
wars...
Awesome.
The first movie wars was pretty good.
It was all right. The Decade portion, I could have done without.
Just like Decade?
Different strokes, but, Yeah, I mean...
Well, yeah, the first movie wars had Begin Tonight.
Yeah. So, you know, that bumps that up a little bit. But as a whole product, it was actually a good movie.
Yeah, and all the different parts actually were part of one narrative rather than, oh, they're suddenly just walking onto the same set at the end.
Yeah. It was basically one story, more or less.
I would say they learn from the mistakes of Core.
I think they realized Core was a mistake.
That's what I'm saying.
So they stepped back and was like, okay. Give it to the series writers.
Give it to
Sakamoto. Let him go.
And make sure to get double back again.
Yeah.
Always double.
Always double.
Double down on the double.
Yeah.
Probably never double again.
Deno's was on both their doubles actors are not under contract anymore and weren't.
Yeah.
And they've shown up to two movies so far after that.
Well, it's very clear that at least Rin Kiriyama really likes his job as Jotaro.
That was obvious in the net movies for A to Z.
Where everybody else is just acting like themselves, and Rin Kiriyama is completely in character the entire time.
But my theory that I had back then was that, okay, this is just how he acts now.
he sees this as a better way of life.
Yes!
Yeah, like, he is Shotaro.
Right. Although, super. Yeah, super.
Rindu! You pay rent!
Oh, this is...
See, this is why we have JD on the show now.
Now, what happens if he runs into Dave Star?
It's like Babe Star becomes a tenant. Oh. Babe Star pay rent last week. You pay rent now. Super.
Anything but this.
Okay, I think that's where we need to call the show for this week.
So, what are we doing next time?
Who the hell cares? Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Bye bye.
Bye.
Super.
You've been listening to Superhero Time. Follow us on Twitter at Superhero_Time for weekly power playback and updates about the show. Visit tfradio.net or find us on iTunes for previous episodes and to subscribe to the show. Superhero Time is a TF Radio Network production. Copyright 2012.
I don't have that kind of money. Because my blades didn't sell today.
Mine sure did.
Yeah, it did, you bastard.
It's not my fault you don't know how to eBay.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, okay, that's it. That's what it is. It's okay, I'll learn. I got it.
Yes, but will you have any money left by the time you figure it out?
I'm already into the green, buddy. I'm already.
Yes, by five whole dollars.
No, 10.
For the record, f***ing his mother does not count as into the green.
Oh.
Back.
No, you left. That's awesome.
Super Hero Time. 次回もお楽しみに。
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.